Now, if we have any children, please step out. This is a parental guidance moment.
All right. I would like it noted for the record that there was a parental guidance warning ahead of this conversation because it may not be suitable for all audiences. A couple of spectacular stories of people in prison who, let's face it, you're limited in your options of where, without clothes, you can hide things that you want to get into prison, if you follow my meaning. From Wenatchee, Washington, police in Wenatchee are surprised at the amount of contraband an inmate was able to smuggle into his jail cell rectally. Listen to what was up there, Lisa, and as I read each item off the list, I want you to visualize that going in and then how much space is left,
all right.
Okay? You start with a cigarette lighter, all right?
Okay.
Then you add some rolling papers. You put those up there.
Okay.
Then a golf ball-sized baggie of tobacco. Now, in my mind, you're starting to fill up a little bit, right?
In my mind, that golf ball is too much.
Yes!
By itself.
Yes.
But we've heard what people have done and then had to have removed later.
Yeah.
Much larger objects.
Well, wait, he's not done.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so you got the lighter, you got the rolling papers, you got the golf ball-sized baggie of tobacco. Then you got another baggie of marijuana. Now I want you to throw in a one-inch smoking pipe. So now you got a pipe in there as well. Oh, you know
all
what?
Right, that's got sharp edges, too.
Not done.
You're going in for a while. Why don't you take along a bottle of tattoo ink, because you never know when you might need that behind prison. So now you've got a bottle in there. No, you got to make some room for the 8 tattoo needles that we're also going to put in there.
Yep.
Is he crazy? How's that not all going to end up piercing him?
I don't know, A. And B, how do you not know that that's one of the checks they do?
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah, there's that as well.
I mean, why go through all that to just get it?
And see, it might all keep going up. You know how that happens. It could.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's insane.
That's bad on every level. I mean,
That's a prisoner who's just really, really trying to be prepared.
Yes.
Yeah,
really. He's a good packer.
Now, Kevin, I understand you have a story that's going to expand the real estate a little bit.
Well, the inmate in Florida was set to be reprimanded after officers say she smuggled 12 bags of heroin into the facility by putting them in her vagina.
Oh, my gosh.
You'd think by the time you get to 6, you go, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Although, again, and I'm no doctor, but it seems to me like there's a little more room there on that side than on the back side.
You do have a baby, so you can expand, but how does it not? I mean, she must do Kegel exercises constantly.
I would
to
imagine.
Hang on to all that stuff.
Yeah, because you'd just be walking and there'd just be bags of heroin falling
just
out.
Falling out.
Oh, that's mine. Hey, I'm sorry. Can you pick that? That's mine. Sorry about that.
And what I love about this one, by the way, is this woman successfully got them into the jail because the police showed up. They raided her home. They found 98 grams of crack as well as 30 grams of marijuana and heroin in her house. But they did not do a cavity search on her when she went to jail. And then they found out that she was dealing from behind bars. They heard reports that she was selling heroin, and sure enough, she was. And when confronted, she had to admit that she had that's where she'd put them.
Unbelievable.
Let's talk to Tom real quick. He's online, too. Let's see what Tom's got to say on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Mr. Payne.
Good morning.
Hey, okay, so let's see. I was a deputy over at the jails in Ventura.
Oh, good. We didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a woman that was arrested. And everyone gets scanned with a little metal detector when they come through. The metal detector went off around her chair. So the deputy patted her down again. The female deputy patted her down again. It kept going off, and really no one knew what was going on. So we had to call the medical staff in, and they did an X-ray cavity check, and they found a snub nose 38-millimeter revolver in her...
A gun?
How about that?
She was way packing heat.
Fully loaded. Later on, during an interview, it was found out that she freaked out when she was arrested, so she had to do something, and she just slid it in. I can't imagine something like that sliding in.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Wow.
She's walking around with a loaded gun in
her vagina. A loaded gun inside of her, yes.
She sits down, and it goes off, and it's all over.
Pretty much.
Wow.
I'm out on a date with that woman. When she says no means no, she is serious.
She means it.
That's unbelievable. Tom, thank you so much for the call. I'm going to tell you that our man Frank, who's on line one, it sounds to me, is going item for item with the guy in the story, Kevin.
Frank?
Yeah, piece of cake. Yeah, we got a whole can of Bugler, which is tobacco, about the size of a 20-ounce coffee can.
What?
Rolling papers, lighter, about 4 grams of heroin.
Wait.
And hypodermic needles.
You did all of that?
Yeah.
You did yourself.
Yes.
And you call yourself
a
man.
Listen to this. this. Not only did I do it, I didn't do it from outside to inside. They're from inside to another place inside. I was already in prison, and there was a big homie who was a shot caller who needed the stuff full. So I had to put all this stuff in the vault. And I had to go out and get in a fight.
You call it in the vault?
I swear to God, Frank, that sounds like something. It sounds like a plot line in a movie that you would intentionally keister all this stuff, and then you would go out and get into a fight so that you could be transferred to make the delivery. I mean, it sounds like something Hollywood would come up with.
No, it's normal practice.
Hey, Frank,
really is.
I am so curious about the needles. How did you wrap them up so that they wouldn't hurt you?
Like the guy with the tattoo needles.
It's not like you have bubble wrap.
Got a lot of cellophane, though. Oh, okay. A lot of cellophane. You can get it from the kitchen. The tattoo needles aren't the full length. They're just the tips. Same with the hyperdermic needles. They're not the whole syringe. They're just the tips of the needles.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't care how big a needle is. I'm not putting it anywhere near that part of my body. I'm just not.
You wrap it up in cellophane.
All right,
Frank. And then put the tobacco around it.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And
all right. Gotcha.
And then pack the tobacco around it and roll it and pack it into the nice phallic symbol that, you know, we all know and love.
Sure.
Okay. I got you.
Wow.
All right. One more question, Frank. You're out of jail now, obviously, unless you've smuggled a cell phone into prison. You're calling us from that.
Ew.
Do you ever put stuff in your butt just for the memories now?
No, but I tell you one thing I did do when I was out in the Y2K was coming.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Remember that? All the hype. And I was.
Oh, yeah. Everybody thought the world was going to end.
A computer? You put a computer there?
No. But we were going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting in line. And I tell my girl, you know what? If the lights go out at midnight and it's all crazy in there, I'm not going to be unprepared. I'm taking a flashlight.
That's a joke, right?
He took a flashlight to the concert in his butt.
But you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. It gets even funnier, dude. It gets even
funnier. D-size batteries?
I think he needs a whole segment.
No. It was a little, the little mag lights, the little ones, you know, with the double A's in it.
Man, right? we were asking for amateurs. We got a pro.
I was inside for like an hour and a half, and we get to the front of the line, and there was a sign that said...
No flashlights?
Due to the special consideration of Y2K, we allow flashlights.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. He may be the only guy who could get Lemmy and Fergie to sing on his album. We're going to be talking to Slash coming up in about 20 minutes. He'll be stopping by the Kevin Bean Show. Good album, by the way. You have a chance to listen to it yet, Kevin?
Have not, no, but I'm
really good stuff. Yeah, looking forward to Slash. I love that dude. So he's coming in. Central Intelligence Agency has been in the news a lot lately. For starters, Kevin, you're going to love this. You've always talked about how you'd be a great CIA agent.
I said that I was a great CIA agent.
Oh, that's right.
As I currently.
For the first time ever this week, the CIA issued instructions to his agents that they could kill on site an American. Which is not something you normally see. This Muslim cleric, he's like Mr. Al-Qaeda. This guy's super bad news. He's hiding out in Yemen, but he's actually born in the United States. And you look at that and you go, how cool would that job be? If you have, I mean, none of us ever get instructions in our work that we can shoot somebody on site.
No,
that's true.
No,
They don't even let us have a gun. You're right.
I know.
And then here's the great news. If you're like me and you get super excited when you hear stories like that about how cool it is to work for the CIA, they're actually recruiting right now. They're actually advertising on the Kevin and Bean Show now to look for agents. That just blows my mind.
Yeah. Here's a commercial that we've been playing here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey. Sit down by your father and try this pastry. It is a Ktir Taibe.
There's something I want to share.
You got the new car?
It's not a convertible, is it?
Now, my favorite thing about these commercials is that they target different groups because they want to advertise to that group and say, we want you.
Right.
We want you.
We want people like you.
We want everyone. The last time it was Hispanics, I believe. Mm-hmm. This time it seems to be the Muslim angle.
Mm-hmm. No, Mom. I got a new job.
What's wrong with your old one?
This one's better. I'll be making a difference.
And?
It offers good pay and benefits.
But they can't get actors. That's the one thing that we've learned about them.
What is wrong with your old job? Seriously, they couldn't get someone better than that?
That's what I'm saying.
And who's this family that has a sitar player sitting in their living room while they're having dinner? What's that about?
I'll be using my degree in foreign affairs, but there are also opportunities in law, medicine, IT.
So what company was wise enough to offer my daughter this new job?
It's not a company. It's our nation.
Our nation?
I'll be keeping federal policymakers informed.
Like senators?
Even the president.
So where's this Wazifa Jadida?
Just outside D.C. At some point, I might be looking.
Many career options, countless ways to serve at the Central Intelligence Agency.
All right, now, peace be with you.
Now, here's the thing. They have been, you may have noticed that we've been doing a lot more personal endorsements. We do commercials. A lot of clients prefer them that way. And apparently our own Miss Cleo was contacted about doing a commercial for the CIA. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I mean, it's no secret that I am of Middle Eastern descent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Both my parents are Egyptian. And so they said this might be a good opportunity to use you.
Now, you haven't sent this to them yet, have you?
No, I wanted to run it by you guys first.
Okay. All right. So here's Miss Cleo and her commercial for the Central Intelligence Agency.
Daddy, guess what? I have some great news.
Oh, what is it this time?
I got a new job.
What?
I'm working for the CIA.
I'm sorry, you're what?
You heard, I'm working for the CIA. I want to serve our country.
Can you even spell CIA?
Dad, you don't understand. They're giving me great benefits, and I get to protect and serve our country.
Okay, but are you like a CIA stripper?
No, Dad, I'll be a real professional.
Like a real professional stripper?
Dad, you don't understand. I'm going to be a legitimate CIA agent, and I'm really excited about it.
Okay, look at here, my little Habibi. I love you and all, but CIA agent, come on, how about you just work on keeping the mouth shut and show off those boobs? I mean, see, look at those things.
Ew, come on, that's disgusting.
No, but seriously, okay? You not so much with the talky talk. Just, God has given you a gift. Look at your chest. Look at that. Okay? All the back pain has to be worth something.
Dad, you never support me in anything that I do!
Oh, do your jumping jacks. Shut up.
Well, what do you guys think?
Well, my guess is... Maybe you should have another go around.
Try it again. I feel bad for Cleo with all the abuse she gets at work. I didn't know that that's what she went home to. It's no better with your dad.
This email that I think Alex sent out to us last week, I saw the article that she attached, and I thought it must be a joke. How about you, Kevin? What was your initial reaction?
Totally joke.
Yeah, it didn't seem like
way. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't seem like the Rear Gear was a real product, but let's tell you what it is with the creator of Rear Gear, Lauren, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, good morning.
So this is a real product. It's not a joke.
You know what? Ironically, I made it as a joke, but it certainly is a real product, yes.
Are you selling them?
I am selling them.
All right.
Okay. Describe for folks what Rear Gear is.
Rear Gear is a little contraption that slides on your pet's tail and covers the business that you don't necessarily want to see every day.
So You're covering up the dog's butthole, let's be honest. That's what you're doing.
When it comes down to it. Yeah,
okay, all right.
All right, when you say you created this as a joke, walk me through that process. How did this happen?
How did you first think about it?
Yeah.
Well, I had a roommate who had a cat, and oftentimes she would jump on my lap and turn around and show me all her goods, and I wasn't necessarily a fan of that, and I thought it would be really funny to cover up with something a little bit more delightful.
Okay, all right.
And what kinds of delightful cover-ups did you come up with, Lauren?
I came up with so many, but I really had to narrow it down.
She's selling a disco ball, an air freshener, a heart, a flower, biohazard smiley face, number one ribbon, cupcake, sheriff's badge, dice.
Oh, my God.
It comes in many, many shapes and forms.
Really, whatever your hobby is, you can just put that on your pet's butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you have different sizes for different sized dogs' butts?
They're pretty much one size.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's big enough that it'll cover from the smallest to the biggest dog. I understand. But you say you created it as a joke. So then did you build a prototype and take a funny photo and just post it on the website? And then people started asking how they can buy it?
Well, I've made it with the intention of selling it and hoping that it would just kind of catch on as, you know, one of those viral things. But
like a gag gift or something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of sales for gag gifts over the holidays.
Yeah, I imagine.
People really loved them.
Yeah. Now, well, is this picture that we have of you, is this you with the thumbs up next to the dog?
That is me, yeah. Yes.
Thumbs up. She's showing us the back end of the dog, and it has a number one Woo-hoo! Ribbon over it, and she's giving us the thumbs up.
That is a nice thing for me to do.
Sure.
What's so weird about this, Lauren, is that I don't know, you know, humans have had pets for thousands and thousands of years, and we've just kind of accepted the fact that you're going to see their backside and their front side. I mean, it's just, it kind of goes with the territory. Nobody puts clothes on dogs like you do on people to hide those things. It's just right. So weird that it would occur to you, oh, that's something I don't ever want to see again.
Well, you know, there's so many little niches for pets out there that are really annoying, like dog clothes. And so many people do put dog clothes on their
pets. Wait a minute. You're not talking down to dog clothes, are you? You're not making fun of dog clothes, right?
That's a good point.
Says the creator of Rear Gear.
Because while they should be made fun of, I'm not sure you're the one to do that.
I just thought I'd add to that.
Okay.
add to the silly little things that you could put on your pet.
So basically, pet owners are suckers is what you're saying. They'll get anything.
That is a good point.
I know Lisa will.
I'm a pet owner, and I think it's really funny.
Now, do you have a dog or a cat?
I have three family dogs.
Okay, and what percentage of the time are they, do you have to, no more Mr. Brown Eye, as you say? Mm-hmm. What percentage of the time do they wear that?
You know, I don't keep them on them.
You don't? Okay.
I mostly made it as, you know, put it on your pet, get a good laugh, take a couple steps.
There you go.
Okay.
Because I'm sure the question that people are asking all the time is, what happens when the dog needs to use that particular part of his body? Now you're in trouble if you've got it covered up, right?
Right.
It's, you know, just
there could be an explosion. You know? That could be bad.
Too much pressure.
Yeah.
All right. So the Rear Gear, I understand, has been available at Etsy, ETSY.com. Is it something that people could still buy today if they went to that website?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure just type in Rear Gear and it should come right up.
What is that site? What is that site?
It's an art site where people can sell their handmade art.
Oh, I see.
Good.
There you go.
But, yeah.
It's going to be so hilarious when you're thinking about this interview 6 months from now when you're living in, you know, Jamaica or something like that, and you're retired for the rest of your life because of the millions of dollars you made from the Rear Gear. You're going to be thinking, I certainly couldn't have predicted this way that my life would go.
Then I'd be the butthole lady.
Well,
you don't want to be the butthole lady.
I got news for you. You already are. I'm sorry to have to tell you, but we didn't call you for any other reason.
Lisa, how sad to finally lose your title after all these years. All right, Lauren. Again, Etsy is ETSY.com if you want to buy or just get a look at the Rear Gear. It's certainly one of the strangest products we've seen in a long time. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for having me. Have a good morning.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We are very happy to welcome back to our studio Mr. Aziz Ansari, who joins us here. Of course, one of the stars of Parks with Recreation, which is a show on NBC Thursday nights at 8:30. And then, well, you can see him on every other channel all the time. He's the hardest working man in show business. How are you, Aziz? What's going on, man?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be back.
He said that in the hallway, and, you know, we take votes on guests.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so it's usually me being Ralph so that there's three people so that we can get an answer. You're instantly. Every time your name comes up, we're like, yeah, of course.
That's very nice.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Me and Chris Angel always get three thumbs up.
That's right.
Aziz, of course, is a stand-up comedian. You've seen him in movies. You've seen him on the TV. He's got a television special, in fact, coming out on Comedy Central this Sunday night called Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening, which sounds very sexy. You just go up based on the title. Is it sexy?
You know, not really. There's mostly, you know, stories about me getting frustrated, you know, buying sheets, or stories about how my cousin's chubby. Not very sexy. Talking about a chubby 14-year-old Indian kid. Not really
so
sexy at all.
It would be the opposite of sexy.
Yeah. There are intimate moments. There are intimate stories from my life, I guess, but no, nothing too sexual.
It says here that white people are psyched all the time. Is that true?
Yeah, I that's a joke I did because I did an interview once, and a guy was like, so you must be pretty excited about all the Slumdog Millionaire stuff. And I was like, you know, weirdly I am, and I have no idea why. I had nothing to do with that movie. Like,
that's what
that
I like about you is you'll just roll with it.
Yeah, I was like, you know, now that I think about it, I am, and I had nothing to do with it, and it's just some people that look kind of like me are in this movie that did really successful, so I thought about it. I was like, whoa, are white people psyched all the time because they're in everything, every single movie. Yeah. Jaws, that's us. Back to the Future, that's us. Godfather, us. Every movie but Slumdog Millionaire and Boys in the Hood is us.
I guess you would be.
So that led to the bit, are white people psyched all the time?
Was it tough for you to break out as a comedian and as an actor, not looking like every other guy up on the stage?
You know, I think what's cool about stand-up is no matter what you look like or anything, if you just do stand up and you do well, there's no denying it, you know.
Right.
It's like the audience reaction kind of is on your side.
People laugh,
so,
you win.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's kind of a cool thing in that way.
I was in Phoenix over the holidays with my family for Christmas, and we went to Cold Stone Creamery. And I have a little clip of Aziz and his take on Cold Stone Creamery.
I went to a place recently I think is one of the most f***ed up places I've ever been to. I'm convinced this place is the epitome of American excess, of American greed. I'm talking about a place called Cold Stone Creamery. Whoa. If you have not been there, the basic gist of Cold Stone is that they take ice cream and then they just go ape with it. There's like slamming brownies and gummy bears and just hammering it in there. Whatever fat people want in there. Snickers bar, cheeseburger. Let me put a Butterfinger into it for you. Just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus. This is way too intense for me. Is that guy's a Butterfinger? What just happened?
Intimate Moments for Central Evening airs Sunday night at 10 on Comedy Central, and it hasn't even aired yet, but it's going to be available a week later on DVD for your fans to own. Is that right?
Yeah, it airs on Sunday, and then it comes out on DVD and CD on Tuesday.
So not a week later, 2 days later.
2 days
Good
later.
Turnaround.
Yeah.
Like,
aren't you just telling people to not bother tuning in then?
Yeah, pretty much. It's really a bad strategy.
I'm going to wait 2 days and see it without the beeps.
Yeah, well, I think they also air like a secret stash version on Comedy Central at some point, which is like, you know, unbleeped, and it'll have like some of the really, really dirty stuff, like the Randy stuff and whatnot. And the DVD will be unbleeped, and I put like an extra, like a 30-minute set of some stuff I didn't put in the special, so there's like a half hour of extra material on the
DVD.
So
it makes sense a little.
Yeah.
You get more bang for your buck.
Right.
All right.
Sure.
Also, next Tuesday, you are sold out at the Largo Los Angeles. Tickets are still available for your show on the 20th at 9. We got to take a quick break. Aziz Ansari is here. Of course, Parks and Recreation, a phenomenal show that's on NBC 8:30 Thursday nights. When we come back, I have to ask if it's true, all the stuff that you tweet about how you and your friends do nothing but make stuff up to try to impress chicks every time you go out.
Well, no, that's kind of, well,
that's a guy thing.
We'll discuss it. Yeah. That's not exactly true.
Okay.
Well, by the way, I get the idea that everything he says is not exactly true, for the record. Aziz Ansari is here, and we will continue in a second.
Birthday boy, Dave Grohl there, and Foo Fighters on the Kevin and Bean Show. Aziz Ansari is in our studio right now. He's got some stand-up coming up next Wednesday that you can see in person at the Largo Los Angeles. Showtime 9 o'clock. Tickets at largo-la.com. His Comedy Central special is going to be this Sunday night, Intimate Moments for a Central Evening. Then you can buy it on DVD coming up the following Tuesday. Right before the break, Aziz, I was asking you if you're making it up to be funny on Twitter, or do you and your friends make up ridiculous stories in clubs to hit on girls, like I invented the at symbol?
Well, you know, I was in Las Vegas last weekend, and you know, I'll go to those clubs because there's nothing else really to do, and that's really not my scene, and I'm not really going to genuinely talk to any of those.
You ever seen
girls.
That TV show that I'm on? None of that.
Yeah.
That's not
no,
you?
That's not me. So, just to entertain myself, I will go up and say ridiculous things about my friends that I'm with. Like, I was with a friend, and I went up to some girl, and I was like, "Hey, you ever use Google?" And she was like, "Yeah." I was like, "You know the autofill feature? That guy over there invented it."
And then does your guy know? And is he over there with a wink or something?
I'll just be like, "Hey, man, she wants to talk to you about autofill. Remember how you invented that?" And the girl would be like, "That doesn't even work that well."
At least you come up with the sexiest possible things that are really, really going to get the girls interested.
Yeah. No, I'm weirdly fascinated by like just seeing how people react to just like weird things you say to them. Like I went up to some girls like, "Hey, you want to hear a dope story about kidney stones?" And she got so mad.
Really?
She was like,
she was insulted?
I was like, "Hey, I was like, I'm just joking. A friend of mine just told me a story about someone getting kidney stones." I was like, "Oh man, that's always a great move to go up to a girl and be like, you want to hear a dope story about kidney stones?" And she like just didn't see the humor in it at all.
Yeah, I can
and
see
like
that.
Was very, very upset with me.
Yeah. Well, she's not right for you then, clearly.
No.
Were you really, Kevin is right. You can't believe anything that Aziz says or tweets, but you said something the other day about being, I think it was at the Television Critics Association. You were at some sort of a media function.
Yes.
Did you really convince people that you were the Indian guy from the TV show Community?
No, we were just kidding around. That was myself and some people from Community. They were doing an interview, and they just like pulled me over. They're like, "Danny, come here." And I was like, "Hey, what's up? My name's Danny. I'm on Community. I play Abed."
But no. They all bought it. No one wanted to call you on it.
Yeah, no, they knew I was kidding.
Oh, they knew. Okay.
What is the status, and forgive me if you get asked this all the time, but your alter ego is arguably as popular as you are, Aziz, and that, of course, is the great Randy from the Funny People movie. You do some Randy in your stand-up, right? I mean, you kind of you do both, right?
Yeah, like in the special, at the end of the special, I come out and do a kind of a 10-minute mini special as Randy, and like there's like a huge sign that says Randy with 8 A's, and there's dancers and smoke machines, and I make it rain for a few minutes, and it's really fun. And that'll be, I think it'll be on the Secret Stash version. It might be too dirty to be on the one airing on Sunday. But
are you getting worried that people love Randy more than you?
Oh, Randy's way more like than I am. People hate me. No, I think, you know, most people know that that's me. I think 95% of people know that
that's
me doing a character. But yeah, it's really fun, and you know, that's one of the three ideas myself and my friend Jason pitched to Apatow for some movies we were working on. And so, yeah, there might be some more Randy in the future if that's the one we do first.
It's so kind of subversive in that you have to work so hard to appear to be unfunny, and that's what makes it funny. I mean, that's a very difficult fine line to walk as a comedian, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of tough because it has to be somewhat funny. Like, there has to be some sort of cleverness to it, but it has to be, like, really stupid. So it's kind of hard to, like, really write that stuff. But it's very fun. I enjoy doing it.
We do that naturally here. We just try, and then it's not that funny.
And naturally stupid.
Naturally stupid, yeah. So that's how we roll. All right, Aziz, again, don't forget the show is Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening. And it's on this Sunday on Comedy Central at 10 p.m. And then you can order it, like, at 10:30. And then you can buy it from Amazon.
There was a thing on Amazon. Someone emailed me where, like, you know how when you get stuff on Amazon, it's like, oh, you ordered this, so you might also enjoy this.
Here's some suggestions.
A lot of the people that have got this have got this. So for my DVD, the thing that other people have been ordering is this movie called Fireball, which is about these Thai guys that are fighting each other while playing basketball and being on fire.
What?
Yes, and it's called Fireball.
I'm going to get that.
Yeah, Fireball.
I'm
going to
get that instead of your special.
I know,
it
sounds way better. You got to see the cover of it on Amazon. Just type Fireball. And
I love that.
It's Bloodsport meets Hoop Dreams. It's pretty good.
Why do you think... I mean, how does that work?
I don't know. I think I've only sold one copy of my DVD, and it was to a guy who was trying to buy Fireball, and he's really bad with computers.
By the way, Kevin, I don't know if you've seen the picture on Aziz's DVD cover, but it's him in a suit holding an adult beverage with a giant stuffed polar bear behind him. I don't understand why the polar bear, but well done.
I like it.
He likes it. That's why. That's why. So stand-up is next week. Largo is still available for the 20th. If you want to buy tickets for that, you can go to largo-la.com. Parks and Recreation is on Thursday nights at 8:30 on NBC.
Yep.
Aziz, we love you. Come back anytime.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, is Omar here to destroy the joy I have in my glee every Tuesday night? Is that what's going on again?
We're here to sway Omar over to our side by exposing him to glee over and over again. He will start to appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. F you bastards.
So far, you've ruined it for me. I got to be honest. I loved that show until you came in with the glee caps.
Because
now I totally get your point.
Because I'm right.
Well, here's the thing.
I still love it and you're wrong.
No. I still love it, but there are moments while I'm watching it where I go, Omar's going to pick that, Omar's going to pick that, and he's going to be right.
And it's the whole show.
Well, it's not.
Are you kidding?
Sometimes.
All right, let's get into the intro.
All right. Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad, I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap. Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
No, you didn't. Okay.
Omar, do you have a list of 15 clips there in front of you?
I do. How much?
Omar hates Glee. We all like it. We think if he watches it enough, he'll come around.
You just need some exposure. That's why you don't watch it enough.
You say I have 15 clips for here, Ralph. I only need to play you one.
All right.
And you guys all should be out.
Okay.
Listen to this.
All right.
Bringing this to the entire nation. Black, white, red, brown, feel the vibration.
Okay. F you. We do not need to hear that.
Show.
Okay? Seriously?
Awesome.
Good vibrations?
Awesome.
What?
Yeah,
they
no.
had some Marky Mark on Glee last night.
Marky That's Mark true. And the Funky Bunch.
Awesome.
I was watching Glee last night, and I could hear Omar yelling at that
yeah,
song.
That noise. Okay?
Dude, so they can break out Streisand last week. They certainly can give me a little Funky Bunch.
Marky Mark rocked it better. Okay? If they did it better than Marky Mark, I would give them that.
I thought they did a decent job with it, considering.
Mercedes hitting the high notes there. Sweet.
Mercedes? Is that Big Little Precious?
Little Precious.
No, screw that noise. Okay, so the big old thing about the show right now is that Vocal Adrenaline is against the Glee Kids. Oh, which what game name do they have? The
New Directions.
New Directions. What kind of name is that,
by
the way?
Going to regionals, man.
Okay, so Vocal Adrenaline, to get inside New Directions' head, yeah, does this.
Another one bites the dust.
How many times has that been done to death? Another one bites the dust. Oh, man, we're going to take you out. And it's Glee Wars all of a sudden. I didn't know they were like a gang.
Oh, yeah.
It's all absolutely, like, yo, they're throwing their sets. Oh, we'll see you at regionals, brah. And okay, and then it wouldn't be a Glee without a douchey, cliched speech from white man Afro teacher guy.
We will have given it our best shot, and we won't look back. But we will regret letting them get the best of us before the competition.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
That's true, man.
Could you
regrets,
get more cliche than that, man?
Well, the coach has to give a speech.
Oh, dude. And
the
this happened.
To give a speech.
Come on, swing. Yo, it's about that time to bring
come
forth
on with
the rhythm and the
dude,
rock.
Really?
Yeah.
No. So Mr. White Man Afro comes up with this brilliant plan to beat Vocal Adrenaline.
I knew how we could shove it right back down their throats. New Directions is about to make their funk the P-Funk.
Yeah.
We are going to get funked up.
Uh-oh, they're going to get funked up.
Omar, the other school has never been able to pull off funk.
They don't have any funk in them.
That's the other thing, by the way.
That's their weakness.
They can rock any other genre of music, but they can't do funk.
They don't have it inside.
They don't have it. They don't have it.
The robots.
But at least this happens.
I'm going to get mine.
Come on!
I want to see sweat coming out your pores.
We don't need to hear sweat pores, okay? It's 2010! Give it up!
You don't know.
So, Omar, you enjoyed the episode last night.
Did not like it so much. Okay, here's my other thing with the show last night.
All right.
I didn't see season one, but through season one and season two, tell me if this is not true.
This is season one.
This is season one.
This is still season one?
I believe it is.
Are you kidding?
I believe
okay,
it is.
So Butch Lesbo, cheerleader coach.
Right.
Sue Sylvester.
Hates white man Afro teacher guy.
Mr.
Right. With
Schuster.
A passion.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So this one song seduces her totally. Play it.
Tell me that you love me. Yeah.
That
in his sweet ass.
Are you kidding me?
That in his ass looks great in
jeans. No.
Yeah.
She hated him with the heat of 1,000 suns through everything. And now that one lame song. Who sings
There's
that crap?
There's a thin line between love and hate.
Who does sing that song?
Oh, my God.
Bean, you would know.
Chaka Khan, wasn't it?
Yeah, with Rufus, right?
Yeah. All right, Chaka Crap.
Oh, okay. Come on.
And this happened.
On the house, dip the sound, swinging this. Strictly hip-hop, boy. Yeah. I ain't singing this.
Bro, stop dancing.
Dude, I was shaking my ass when I saw that.
No.
Awesome.
Okay. So this is when Sue Sylvester realizes.
Dare I admit it? I have feelings for one Will Schuster.
Yeah.
Sexy, non-murdering feelings.
Yeah. Wow.
Are you kidding?
Dude. She got turned around by that song.
Two sides of the same coin. Two sides of the same coin, my friend.
Listen,
love
Ralph,
and hate.
Crap, cheese, this show sucks. Play this clip.
It's such a
Stop dancing! Are you kidding?
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Okay, so blonde prego chick. Okay?
Quinn.
Okay, yes, blonde prego chick. She does this song because they're gonna get funked up, right?
That's right.
So she does this.
This is a man's world.
Okay, there could be nothing less funk than that stupid song.
James correct.
Brown. Are you kidding?
First of all, that's correct.
But that's not funk.
And second of all, I don't ever want to see a stage full of pregnant women dancing.
By the way, if you watch it, all the pregnant chicks were doing some sort of weird interpretive dance going, oh yeah, we're pregnant. I wanted to kick all their bellies, boom, instant abortions, all over their faces.
Come on, man.
You're going too far.
I'm telling you, dude.
What happened to you?
And white man Afro guy plays this whole like practical joke on the teacher, gets her to go out on a date to meet her, and he doesn't show up, and he learns an important lesson.
So feel the vibration. Come on, feel the vibration.
Okay. That is an important lesson. You gotta feel the vibration.
That's a good one.
Sorry.
Sue, I did what I did to you out of anger. I thought destroying you would pull me out of my funk, but just made things worse.
You see? Because he was in a funk, man, because it's a whole funk episode without no funk music.
Yeah, it was.
Are you kidding?
It was a funk theme.
Supposed to be a funk theme. It wasn't a funk theme. And this happens.
Vinny D's on the back up. Come free, so put the crack up. But Vinny D's on the crack up. Dude! It sucks so much ass.
I gotta tell you, I thought it sounded pretty good.
I did too.
Oh my really god, did. Dude, you guys suck.
They're
running out of rap songs done by white guys.
That's right. They can do.
So finally they do this.
We want the funk.
That's funk.
Yeah. Give up the funk.
Funk song through the whole episode.
Oh,
okay.
Funk you, Omar. But they brought it.
Yeah. It was whatever.
They brought the
by
funk
the way
on that
and
one.
Stupid wheelchair kid. I'm going to punch that kid in the wheelchair.
He's
and
in
make
a
him
wheelchair.
Fall over. He's just doing the fist pump. Oh,
wait,
yeah.
What do you want him to do?
Pop some wheelies or something, kid.
Wait, you're going to punch him in the wheelchair?
Yeah, whatever it takes, bro.
It doesn't seem like
I'm
hurt.
Telling you. I'm going to go the situation on his ass. All right, play this clip.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Can you feel it, baby?
You are not.
I can't cook.
You are not defending that. You are not defending that. Really? Come on.
I stand by.
Okay. So after the funk number, they have vocal adrenaline, and then their vocal adrenaline says, oh my god, we can't do funk. We can't do funk. Oh my god. So then that dude Punk says this.
So you punks the regionals.
Oh, this, man. It's all about the Glee Wars, bro. It's all like Donkey Kong. Play this clip.
It's such a fun vibration.
Come on with that, dude. You got no soul.
Okay,
dude. No, F this show, F that episode.
Oh,
I'm starting a new movement. It's going to be called Hag Heterosexuals Against Glee. Come on, Kevin, won't you join me?
Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
You are listening to The Kevin Abete Show. While you were enjoying the Sublime record, or maybe just hearing the Sublime record, I was listening to Psycho Mike try to explain to a group of youngsters who the Fat Boys are. That's how I was spending my morning.
Seriously.
Listening
that happened.
To that.
No idea.
All right. I'm glad producer Alex has joined us because she is still out
are
there
you sure?
in the...
Sure
yes,
that?
I am, as a matter of fact. I love Alex, and Alex is out there in the dating world with friends who are in the dating world, too. And we always, you know, every time we do a singles party, and we have another one coming up very soon here, we'll be telling you about shortly here on the Kevin Abete Show, we always hear how tough it is to hook up, how tough it is to find that special someone or someone. And part of the reason is perhaps that people have too many deal breakers. People are willing to write off a potentially really great person because of one thing that they think in their mind they can't get over.
Well, they also
am I right about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have deal breakers on things that don't matter. It's not a deal breaker on, oh, I want to marry somebody who's Catholic like me, or I definitely want children. It's a deal breaker about, you know, the color of their hair.
Yes,
or
exactly.
Or what kind of shirt they wear. It's stupid.
Or they have a tattoo, Dave the King of Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, I would not date a woman with a tattoo. That is a deal breaker. So you had a situation that somebody came up with one of your friends. I was very surprised to hear this.
Yeah, I was yelling at him. He's a very attractive brother, and he's probably about 5'7", so mm-hmm. he's not that tall for a guy.
Right.
But he said he will not even approach a girl if she's taller than him. Won't even buy her a drink, won't even talk to her. And I'm thinking that negates 50% of the people.
Pretty much most women.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, but what if she's really cute and she's into you? You could be, you know, the Tom Cruise, she could be Katie Holmes, it could all work out great. And he's
right.
like, nope, won't do it.
Wait, that's working out great? Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes?
For Katie in about 5 years when she cashes out.
Yeah. I have always admired that Tom Cruise has no trouble dating women much taller than him. I think that's mm-hmm. admirable because that takes confidence.
Well, for him, it's impossible to date people shorter. I mean, he really is about midget size.
That's true.
But Alex, your friend, what if, you know, Heidi Klum or somebody like her was single and available? I mean, who's otherwise an outstanding potential mate? Just he wouldn't even give her the time of day just because she might happen to be a couple inches taller than him.
He might give her the time of day because she's Heidi freaking Klum, but I don't think he would – it wouldn't occur to him to even talk to her or approach her unless she initiated it.
Really?
Yes, he's retarded.
Well, that's dumb.
Especially you must if have you're a deal breaker or something along those lines.
AIDS. I don't know. I mean, seriously, I think we're just really hard on people and everybody's got their issues. And look, if you don't live at home, if you've got a job – you know, if you have your own car.
That's it.
Speaking English and
that's
maybe
fine.
If you
yeah.
if
well,
you
I honked up teeth. Can't do it.
Honked up teeth.
Can't do it.
Because
I
look
have
at
heard,
their mouths all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You can't. It's not something you can ignore. I have heard Psycho Mike in the past say that he has. Tell the story about the deal breaker date that you went on with the date with the date who you couldn't stand to eat with, Mike.
And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
I went out with a beautiful. I'm not just saying this girl was stunning and she was really nice. I worked with her at the time and we got along really well. Everything kind of pointed in a positive direction. And we went out to dinner, and I sat down with her, and she ate like a damn barbarian. I mean, chewing with her mouth open, talking while she had mouthfuls of food. And I... Not only is that a deal breaker for me, I actually got up and left. I got flustered and just – I didn't know what to do, and I got up and left her there.
Did you pull the – I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back, and then you not come back?
You didn't say anything. You just left.
Yeah, I was really
–
I was really high on drugs. It was a bad time of my life. And I went, and I walked and I went to a bar that was nearby where my friends were, and I never talked to her again. And she was really pissed at work the next day, but I didn't know what to say.
Here's what I love about you. You're on a date with a girl who can't use a napkin. Yet you're high as a kite, and you don't think she has a problem with that?
Well, I rip, though. So
you do rip. That's true.
Now, again, we're going to go to your calls in a minute here at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for deal breakers. You will not date a person if. And the smaller the deal breaker, the more intrigued we are by it. For instance, Kevin, when your wife inevitably leaves you, and we all know that's going to happen.
Sure.
And you're single, and you meet what you think could be the next Mrs. Kevin, and then you find out she's a Red Wings fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Out,
can
right?
Can you do it?
Can't do it.
Can't do it?
No, you've said in the past, that's absolutely 100%. There's no room for negotiation. You don't care how hot she is.
Nope, nope, nope. Can't do Detroit. Pistons fan? I'm out.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple calls before the break because we got some great ones already. Jennifer is on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is one I was not expecting to hear from a woman. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome. What's your deal breaker?
Hi. They can't own any cats. It drives me nuts.
A guy that owns cats.
Oh. Done.
Are you allergic? Are you allergic?
I'm not allergic. I'm just a dog person. My first blind date, the guy had not one cat, but two cats. And they're just staring at me, and they're curling around my legs.
Yeah, they're evil. Cats are evil.
Yeah. The cats are not
they
evil.
Are. There's
they
nothing are. Wrong with
they
cats.
They look at you with the eyes of Satan.
That's true.
So even if it's a great guy who happens to be an animal lover, and animals includes cats, that's not good enough for you. There's no room for negotiation there.
The blind date, he was great. He owned his own house. He had his stuff together. He just couldn't do it. He had two cats that would stare at me and,
Okay.
Smart. All right, call.
Creeped out. Let's try Ryan, line 1 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ryan, thanks for dialing in. What's your deal breaker?
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
Hi.
Hey, I had a date with this girl. She was a model, completely out of my league. I mean, just drop dead gorgeous, and she had hair on her nipples.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Okay, but let me just say that is fixable.
That's very fixable.
Easily
it is completely
fixable.
Fixable. But if she doesn't notice it, then I'm not gonna.
She's not looking down.
Okay, but so you're gonna pass on a supermodel because you didn't even try to bring it up. Hey, what's going on with all that hair on your nipples? Something like that.
She could have been horrified.
And completely beyond belief, and I couldn't move on. I got out of bed with her and left her.
Oh, my God.
So that means if you're on, Match.com or something, you have to put that officially in the qualities they cannot have. You must ask them. No hair on your nipples. Don't even respond if you do, right?
Exactly, yes.
No nipple beards, please.
Awesome. All right, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right,
bye. A quick break, your call. What are your deal breakers? The smaller the better. 1-800-520-1067. We'll return on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Long distance is the wrong distance, Sue. Deal breaker. Mickey Rourke wants to take me camping.
Deal breaker, Jenna. God. And I haven't seen my fiancé in 7 months.
Sari, I have 2 words for you. Robot warning.
Okay, that catch base needs a little work.
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker indeed. That's what we're talking about on today's Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Perhaps you are dating or thinking about dating someone who would otherwise looks like a pretty good match. But there's just that one thing. For instance, here's an email. I can't date a girl that isn't left-handed.
What?
Don't judge. It's just my thing.
How? What is the percentage of the population that
that's
is left-handed?
I don't know.
Like a quarter?
I don't know, but that seems stupid.
Wow.
Mark emails in, if she wears Ugg boots, I'm out. Will not date anyone who wears Ugg boots.
Come on.
Everyone wears them.
That's
now.
Just not true. That guy is lying.
That's what he says.
If Megan Fox shows up in the Uggs, you go, oh, well.
Yes.
Yep, exactly. So anyway, that's what we're talking about. The smaller, the better. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with let's start with Jenna, because not all deal breakers are ill-advised. I think Jenna has one that I kind of agree with. Hi, Jenna. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your deal breaker?
So it's guys who wear Affliction t-shirts or Ed Hardy t-shirts.
Yeah, that's a
warning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're making the right choice there.
We disagree with you.
If they typically typically wear those kind of shirts. They generally have greasy heads, and their jeans are just, they have like that patchwork thing going on. It's just, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And they're douchebags, too. Let's not forget that. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try Justin. He is on line 5 calling the Kevin Devine Show. Now we're getting into picky territory. Hi, Justin. Welcome to the show. What do you got?
I can't stand girls that have silver fillings in their mouth. It's too much of a slippery slope for me.
Silver fillings? Okay, what do you think that's about?
I'd rather lick a porta potty seat than kiss a girl with silver fillings. Just
you
like
can't
Trailer
taste
Park
them?
Princess.
Yeah, no. You can't taste them.
You no, can taste a porta potty seat, too.
No, you know, it was back in school. I had girls who'd come up and they'd be like, oh, can you fix it for me? And I'd go through and look at it and I'd find all kinds of other nastiness in there and it just.
What do you mean, can you fix it for me? Why, how
wait,
are you
about? A dentist?
I am. What happened is, as soon as I see it, it's like the slippery slope. It's like somebody comes in with a really bad cough, and next thing you know, you're dating somebody with AIDS. So, wow.
Justin, aren't they just people who haven't gotten the old ones changed to the non-silver yet?
No, shouldn't have done it.
There was a day when that's all you could get.
Well, those people should be put to death.
All right. Enjoy your life alone, Justin.
I'm glad to see a doctor who's able to keep it in perspective. Very well done. Thank you. That's fantastic. All right. Let's try, and I know we probably shouldn't go to Victor on line 7 because women everywhere will be hating on him, but we got to give him a shot.
Victor,
what is your deal breaker, please?
Stretch marks.
Okay, Victor.
Stretch marks.
Most people have them when they grow from children to adults. So are we talking about terrible stretch marks?
Yeah, like stomach area, after pregnancy.
After being pregnant.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I can't do it.
All right. Something they have no control
okay.
over.
What about if you have a wife and then you guys have a baby or two?
Right.
Does it apply to her too?
Well,
she's
thank
out.
Thank God that my son's mom doesn't have one. Because I don't know what I'd do if she had them.
Yeah.
Current one.
Yeah, I think our sexual life would be down the tubes.
Yeah. All right.
Well, don't ever have kids.
What about silver fillings? What about that? Cool with
silver
that?
Silver fillings?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
You're cool with that.
You
okay.
You don't see those on a daily basis. So.
All right, Victor. Thank you.
Dear Kevin Devine, on the second date, he pulled a knife on me because I suggested using a different bowling ball. Deal breaker.
Well, I mean,
I think that's legit. I think if he pulls a knife on you.
Here's one from
right.
30 Rock.
If your man is over 30 and still wears a name tag to work, that's a deal breaker.
All right. I can see that.
That's funny.
What if he's an admiral in the U.S. Navy? They wear name tags.
I think that'd be okay, then.
If your man collects action figures, that's a deal breaker?
Yeah. Really?
Right,
that's ridiculous.
A lot of those guys.
Somehow Ralph still got a wife. All right, let's try Liz on line 5. This is an interesting one. Hey, Liz, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
Okay, so what drives me nuts is guys who are in their late 20s or early 30s who still use the words homies, late, and I.
And that's most people, right?
And you're moving out of Southern California when?
Not anytime soon.
Really? But you say it drives you crazy. It's not a deal breaker, though.
It kind of is.
The perfect guy comes along and he says homie once and you kick him to the curb?
Well, it's not just once. It's just, I'm going to hang with my homies.
It's a habit. It's a habit thing that you hear all the time. Hey, I'm surprised that nobody has – that's a great call, by the way, Liz. Thank you very much. I'm surprised that nobody has called because there have to be people who cannot live with a person who has the constant you-knows or the constant likes. You know, those kinds of verbal tics that will drive you crazy to spend too much time with that person.
Yeah, I don't know that people are that sensitive to that.
That would drive me nuts.
Would it?
Yeah.
I don't even notice it. And then Bean usually points it out. And I go, oh, yeah, I didn't realize because that's kind of how everyone talks. Sounds to me, you know what I mean? Like they say, like, all right, where do we want to go? Let's.
I love Chris on line 7 because, again, the smaller the deal breaker, the more perplexing it is to the rest of us if the person is otherwise good. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going? I actually hate top ponytails on women. Mm-hmm. The ones with the ponytails on the top of their heads.
Right.
They look ridiculous.
Right, okay, but okay, but that's fine. But, like, you meet the perfect girl and you say, hey, that kind of drives me crazy. And she agrees to it, or you don't even talk to her?
I, I tell her to take it down because it looks stupid. I say, take it down or I will leave right now.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
That's the stand. That's the stand you should take as well. That's a good choice.
Who knew that a top knot would get that much hate? All right, let's try.
Who knew it was called a top knot? More important,
it's called a top knot. Let's try Tiffany. You guys tell me if you think Tiff is legitimate online too. Hi, Tiffany. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your deal breaker?
Well, my deal breaker is men that are not circumcised. I'm totally serious about it, but every time I date a guy who isn't circumcised, it reminds me of Elf, and I just, I can't go on.
Elf, that puppet that used to be on the TV show in the 80s? Really?
That's, I swear.
That comes to your head?
I can't get it out of my head.
And wow.
Automatic deal breaker.
It's all right. Automatic for me, but boy, it puts you on the bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It doesn't need much of a push.
It doesn't.
Yeah. I hear you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try,
Let's try Cindy.
Okay.
Because
all right, let's try Cindy.
This is a Psycho Mike thing. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
What's your deal breaker?
Oh, guys with bad feet, that thick, crusty, cracked skin on their heels. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
but,
gross.
You know, yeah, that's the kind of thing you don't find out either, though, at first.
Until they're, yeah, true.
You know, and then, so now you've dated them three or four times. You go, oh, look at those feet.
Oh, yeah, I'm out.
Do you ever try and send him for a pedicure?
No.
Nope, not even time for that.
All right.
I mean, ugh.
All right.
Whoa.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Interesting you say that about the feet. Here's an email from Travis. Dude, if a girl has bad knees, I'm out. I don't care if she's got Megan Fox's face and Katy Perry's boobs. I am done.
What are
damn
bad
crinkly,
knees?
Knobby-kneed broads.
At what point are you looking at knees?
I can't imagine that it would matter much what their knees look like, right?
No!
If a girl's knees are all bruised up, that's the type of girl sure, I want to get to know.
That's a good point. You should be looking for that, exactly.
All right, this is and just bizarre. See. Yeah, no kidding.
How do we
if
ever
if your man has seven cell phones but won't give you any of the numbers, that's a deal breaker?
Right.
If your man owns a diamond necklace that says open marriage, that's a deal breaker.
That's what she said.
What are you going to do with eight locks?
Maybe I'll build a boat.
Did you say build a boat?
Be great in case it floods or something.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go with the pig face.
Why did you want to kill yourself?
I fell in love with someone who didn't love me back. I was very much in love with him.
You fell in love with the boy?
Yes, I did. Very much so.
That's silly.
This is the best day of my life!
Max, you didn't push the button hard enough.
So you could hear me?
Yes. Right.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Excuse me?
Party. The pants. With the pants. Party with pants.
Brick, are you saying that there's a party in your pants and that I'm invited?
That's it.
Ah, Kelly Clarkson!
Thursday nights at 9, you can see our next guest as the star of The Office on NBC, and he is back in theaters for the first time in a couple of years with a new film opening tomorrow called Date Night. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Carell back on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steve, how are you, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. What?
Thank you.
What's that noise? What's
going on? What's all that noise? Where am I hearing on the? Here we go.
Sorry.
That's weird.
That was me. Me. All mine.
Of course.
Steve, you're everywhere. I am watching you on Regis and Kelly right now, and it's blowing my mind that I'm seeing you on my TV and talking to you in my head at the same time.
How obnoxious is that?
It kind of is. So I know it takes a long time to make a movie and then have a movie come out, but it seems like you've been out of theaters for a couple, two, 3 years or something like that. This is the first time back, right, for a while?
Yeah, it's the first thing I've done since Get Smart.
Okay. And why Date Night? Why is this the one you choose? I'm sure you get a million offers. Why did you like this one?
Well, part of it was just the chance to work with Tina. I'm a big fan of hers and had wanted to work with her, and she turned out. She's great. I mean, just so funny and smart and pretty and just and turned out to be a really nice person, too. So it was great.
She's long been in Bean's top 10.
I love her so much.
He's going to fight you for her. Just so you know.
Well, you know what it is? There's those women who are, I mean, she's really, really pretty, first of all. And it's almost like she doesn't know it. She acts like such a regular girl, but she's actually kind of hot. But she's also wicked smart and just so funny. I mean, how do you not fall in love with Tina Fey?
Yeah, she's, you know what? She's a lot like my wife, frankly. She's, you know, both of them are very intelligent and they're not pushovers and they're really pretty. Very, very appealing.
And neither of them will have sex with you. Is that correct?
Exactly. There's the common denominator.
Now, most of what, and I don't know if this was intentional. If so, you're brilliant. But most of what we've heard about date night so far has been the kiss, capital T, capital K. If people have not heard about it, tell us about it.
Well, Tina, the second day of shooting, we were doing essentially what was the end of the movie, and our characters kiss, and she thought it would be funny for us to kiss all the way through credit. So we figured that the credits are about 4 minutes. So that's how long we kissed for.
And at first you think, I can kiss her for 4 minutes, but then about a minute in, you're going, this is a long time, right?
30 seconds, you're thinking, holy mac, I haven't done this with my wife.
Right. Was it a one-take deal where you just did it all in one shot, or did you...
asking for take after take.
Yeah.
After
take. I'd like to do that again. I didn't think I was convincing.
No, I didn't get... My lips didn't look good in that.
In almost all of your movies, this is Steve Carell we're talking to on the Kevin Bean Show about the new film, Date Night, opening tomorrow. And almost all of the movies, there's some incredibly embarrassing or awkward thing that your character has to do. What is it for Date Night?
We have to do a pole dance.
Yes.
Oh.
You say we, meaning you?
And Tina.
You have to do a pole dance together?
Yeah, for Bill Fichtner, who is a really sleazy district attorney. And frankly, he's getting very aroused by watching us dance.
Uh-huh. By which one of you?
By both of us.
Both of you, okay.
And the deal is, if I understand from the commercial, Steve, is that you and your wife, in the movie, you guys have to go into, like, on the run or something to hide from bad guys? Or what's the story here?
Yeah, to spice up our normal date night, we go into New York City to a very fancy restaurant. And since we don't have reservations, we take somebody else's table.
I've always
and
wanted to do that.
There's a mistaken identity, and we're caught up in the mob, and it becomes a wacky adventure.
Well, it's got an unbelievable cast. James Franco, who is always best playing comedies in the movie.
He's so funny in this movie. He and Mila Kunis have a scene that rocks. He is great.
We love him.
He improvised so much and was so funny. Great.
Also, the great Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live, who's awesome in every movie she
awesome.
Does. She's in this.
Always.
And Mark Wahlberg is another guy who's, you know, probably best known for his serious roles, but he's hilarious when he does comedy, too.
He's so good because he doesn't let on that he's doing anything funny. He just plays it straight. He's great at it.
We've been having Steve Carell on the show for a number of years. He's always been very kind with his time on the Kevin Bean Show. And I remember at the beginning when The Office first took off and we said, well, clearly you're going to be blowing this popcorn stand and going off and making movies, right? And you said, no, it's the best day job in the world, and I love it, and I'm going to keep doing it. And damned if you didn't keep your word, and you're still on TV and still having time to make movies, too.
Aren't I wonderful?
You're the best.
You are.
We love you.
No, but you know what? When you hear people say that, even though they have successful TV shows, it's only a matter of time.
Right.
Right, because once you get a couple of 40-year-old virgins or anchormans under your belt, all of a sudden you go, hey, I'm Katherine Heigl, you know?
It goes to show how grounded I am.
You are very grounded.
Like a real, real down-to-earth kind of dude.
I heard, by the way, Steve Carell on the phone, I heard you on BBC Radio with Tina.
Uh-huh.
And they were asking you if you ever do That's What She Said in real life, and you said never, ever.
I don't
ever.
Do it.
Although, even if people ask, whatever?
They both had competitions to see who could do the better That's What She Said.
Right.
Tina always won. She was very good at it.
Because she's smart. But I was fascinated by the fact that you just won't.
I won't do
just,
it.
You've had enough of it.
We can't stop.
We can't. You started a revolution that none of us can stop, but you've stopped it. You just sent it out there like a plague in the world, and now everyone else does it.
It is sort of an addiction.
It is.
Did you see Craig Robinson nailing That's What She Said on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last week when he was talking about the hot tub time machine?
No, I didn't. I didn't see him do it.
He stood up and was high-fiving everybody and running around.
Oh, man, he is so funny.
Yeah,
he
is.
He's great. Yeah. He's a funny guy.
He's coming for your That's What She Said crowd. I'm just telling you. At least you're willing to give it up. So. Well, all right. Last question for Steve Carell, and that is, if people pay to go see Date Night this weekend and they don't like it, what are you willing to do or give to them?
Nothing at all.
Okay. All right. Well, at least he's being fair and honest.
All right, good. No. There's nothing that I can do for them.
They'll get no reward.
No kind of guarantee.
Of humor.
All right.
There's damn chances with it.
Hey, Date Night.
Is Jay Moore there?
Jay Moore just stepped out in the hallway.
Well, Well, tell him that I saw him perform a couple of years ago in Boston, and it was one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
I will tell him we agree as well. He is A+.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what's funny, Steve. He's a huge fan of yours, and we said, well, we're talking to Steve Carell in a minute. We'd like you to go ahead and be on the call.
Oh,
and he said, I don't want to bogart his time or something. We just walked back in the room.
All right, there you go. Steve. Hi, Stephen Carell.
I'm a fan as well.
All right. Jay just walked in. Hi,
Stephen Carell.
Hey,
it's a great pleasure of mine, my friend. I left because I didn't want to take anything away from your interview because I have impulse control problems when I talk. So I thought, you know, this guy, I mean, we all got to go see Date Night. It's going to be hilarious.
Right.
April 9th, I believe.
Thank you so much for whoring for me.
That's I am a plug whore.
He's going to whore for you
and
himself.
I know you're going to pre-order my book, No Wonder My Parents Drank, on Amazon.com. So, you know, one hand washes the other.
I'm taking it on our press junkets.
There you go.
All right. No, you're tremendous, brother. You're great.
I'm a big fan. I was telling these guys, I saw you perform a couple years ago in Boston and just like the best live show I've ever seen. It's great.
Wow, look at that.
It's better now, so you can come again.
All right, Steve, listen, we know you got to get on to another interview, but thanks so much for being on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have fun appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thanks. So Jay steps
Steve,
out.
I'll see you tonight at about 9. It was a big ruse Steve and I had going.
Really?
Is that right?
You guys played us?
Yeah, we play poker every... No, I don't know. I never met the man.
You haven't, okay.
But God, I think he's so funny.
He is. He's great.
He is. And I forget the name.
What an honor. Like, I'm blushing. Yeah. That was incredible.
He loves you.
I was like, oh, Jay just left.
Steve Carell was at my show?
And loved it.
Wow.
One of the funniest stand-ups he's ever seen. How about that?
I wish more, when celebrities come see me, I wish they would, like, come backstage and say hi instead of me having to talk to, like, the local opener. So, dude. That's all they say.
Go have your burrito. We'll come back with more with Jay Moore.
By the way,
I'm at
55,000. I went down 1,000.
So you're losing more.
Well, yeah. I need Kevin and Bean listeners. I know you're at work right now. You get the iPod, whatever you're listening. Go to Amazon.com.
I do a lot of favors for you, don't I, Henry? Go to Amazon.com and pre-order my book. No wonder my parents drank over here.
Right, there you go. Now it should be in the top
at 54,000.
Marcy Playground, mother
That's what
efforts.
I'm talking about.
106.7. K-Rock is Caro Q at 8:39.
Oh. And?
And don't forget the big game party, Sunday at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, featuring Pepper and our own Gay Psycho Mike.
All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We see a lot of stories, and some of them we just can't get our head around, and that's why we have to ask Alex to find us somebody for follow-up. Apparently, there is an up-and-coming rage in evangelical churches in this country. I mean, in the hundreds now, Kevin, there are churches that combine the teachings of the Bible with MMA fighting.
This is the whole younger people aren't getting into church, so we need to reach out to them in a way that will attract them to our churches.
Okay.
And I thought the whole church thing is all about, you know, peace and love, not necessarily, you know, beating a guy's head in, but apparently they have figured out a way to combine the two. We have many, many questions about this trend. As I say, there are hundreds of churches around.
700, this article says. How's that possible?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and
this
some
is a
of
big
them,
trend.
Yeah. Some of them they have services and then they watch, you know, pay per view or MMA fights on television. Some of them they have actual fighting where you go and you sit there and you listen to the service and then you go out of the parking lot and you actually fight guys. It's just crazy.
There's
right?
a place in Nashville that is called Extreme Ministries, and the school's motto is "Where feet, fist, and faith collide."
There you go.
So good times with that. That's what you're looking for in a church.
So apparently we do have one of the reverends who works at an MMA church. His name is, well, it's Ed Hardy, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Rev. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm dropping bones in the dome for Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah! Is there any way you could not fight and instead talk to us on the phone, Rev?
Sorry, got some of the disciples doing a little workout here. Sorry. You know, okay. The devil never takes a day off, and neither do we.
Okay.
All right. I understand. Well, maybe you can explain a little bit, because I'm a little foggy on the concept. How do you use fighting to teach the what Jesus believed?
I'm sorry, what was that question again?
I said, how do you use fighting to teach the word of God?
Because that's what Jesus would do if he was still here, man. He'd be kicking ass and taking names.
I thought Jesus was the whole turn the other cheek guy.
All right, so his defense need a little bit of desire right there. But actually, he's got some amazing moves, like the Sermon on the Full Mount. You ever see that move?
I did not know it.
Well, the submission hold. The stigmata on the plata.
Wow.
You know, there's a move called a crucifix.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
no.
From the side control, you pull your opponent's arm between your legs and cross your legs, locking it there.
Right.
With one hand, you pull down your opponent's other arm,
right,
allowing your free arm to punch an elbow with unprotected head. Now
wow.
That is Jesus right there.
How
punching somebody in their unprotected head?
I don't claim to be an expert, but I don't think Jesus ever punched anyone in their unprotected head.
God gave us two fists, brother. What do you think they're there for? To pound people in the face. Are you with me?
Couldn't somebody argue that the hands are there to, to hand out food, to help the poor, to work a good, honest living?
They're weak like the devil. I'd rather use my hands for a rear naked chokehold.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
No.
Do you sell the t-shirts that say Jesus didn't tap?
Absolutely. Jesus didn't tap, neither do we.
I don't want to anger, religious people, but how do they know Jesus didn't tap?
Because he didn't.
His hands weren't exactly available.
He never tapped.
Right, but...
Hold on. Wait. Time out. His hands weren't exactly available.
I'm saying, how would we know?
Is that some sort of crucifixion
reference? Yes! I'm saying, how do we know he didn't tap?
Wow.
Yeah.
Me?
Wow.
What, me? I'm selling the t-shirts Jesus didn't tap.
Mother Mary, First Lady of Muay Thai, please forgive him. He knows not what he does.
Mother Mary's the First Lady of Muay Thai?
I'll say a prayer for you, brother.
Right.
Are you with me?
No.
Hey, party people. Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. He apparently is the King of Farmville.
Yeah.
I don't get this. I don't understand it. I hear...
Is this the
Farmville theme?
Yes, it is. Listen to that.
Music to my ears.
Farmville is getting a million new users every week, Kevin, and now has over 70 million active users.
70 million?
70, yes. For folks who don't realize...
Mowers.
Is this Dave coming on the tractor?
I don't know. I'm harvesting right here.
Yep.
Making my money.
And for folks who have never heard of Farmville, it's a game that you play on the internet. It's like one of those Second Life games, except instead of being, a dragon slayer, you're out there planting crops and milking cows, I guess.
70 million each what? Week, month, year?
Each week.
No, 70 million active users a month. That's the number of people who log on a month.
Right.
Now, Dave, give me Farmville 101, because I don't know
anything
about it.
That's my favorite part. That's where the farmer runs over the chicken.
Yeah, well, that is my chicken coop being harvested, but, Bean, it's like The Sims. You remember The Sims, right?
Of course, yeah. The Sims is where you create an alternate reality with a family, and you have a job and kids, and you play, and you work, and you do everything just like in real life, right?
Yeah, well, remember when The Sims first started, they had Sim City? It's exactly like that, but with a farm.
Right,
and
so way worse.
So you take Sims,
and then you go, how can we make this horrible?
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Let's move it to a farm.
Because then you could buy like all these different types of animals, all these decorations. You get all these wacky animals and these different types of plants, fruits, vegetables. And now they're upgrading the game, so now you could do co-op farming.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's
great.
With your friends, your neighbors, and you could, work on this job. And then you sell stuff in the farmer's market.
So it's just like Grand Theft Auto.
How do you... Yeah, exactly.
What does it mean to sell stuff?
It's like you call somebody.
explain to Bean how... But I mean, so the idea of the game is what? You make money by harvesting crops?
Yeah, you harvested the most crops, and you want to get the biggest farm, the most successful farm. And you want to just be busy.
Is it a cutthroat competition? Like,
Everyone works...
Dave, my farm kicks your farm's ass.
Not at all. See, this is a friendly game, Kevin, and everyone works together. Everyone works together. You send your neighbors gifts. They send you gifts. They send you materials you need. Sometimes you have to build a stable for your horses.
Sure. Uh-huh. You don't want your horses just to run free.
Yeah, so, your neighbor will send you like a wooden board or a nail.
Let me stop you right there.
Hey, how about a handful of nails?
So, do you have interaction with other players in the Farmville universe at the same time, in real time?
If they're... Not really in real time. Like, it's not like we could see each other playing, but, I could go visit farms and...
Yeah, there's no split screen or anything exciting.
And I could plow. That'd be awesome if it was like chat roulette and you get a farm together.
Right.
No, but, I could go visit other people's farms and,
plow their fields.
I was sitting there with Dave Bean when I first discovered this ridiculous game, and he's like, I got to go to my friend's farm because he's not keeping it up properly.
Yeah.
And he went to his friend's farm and did some upkeep.
Yeah, all his crops have died. And so I used my own Farmville cash and bought an unwither potion.
By the way, we're gonna need to talk to you.
Unwither potion.
1-800-520-1067. We're going to need to talk to you if you play the Farmville and why. All right, get back to the unwithered potion.
Yeah, so, you know, his crops are dead, so I sprayed a little unwithered juice, and boom, his crops are back up. He's back in business.
It's just like real life.
What's Farmville cash?
Farmville cash is, there's special items that you need, like this unwithered juice, and...
Yes?
It only accepts Farmville cash, and you could buy it or you could earn it.
You don't spend real money.
I don't spend real money.
Do you have a credit card on file?
Not at all.
Yes, you do.
Me personally?
You do.
No.
But people
personally,
do?
Yes. If you go to like places like Target, they sell Farmville gift cards. And like 25...
What?
25 bucks, real dollars,
right.
can get you about $100 Farmville cash.
And then you can cash that in for $100 at the end?
And then you could buy... No.
You
could buy special edition, themed, decoration-themed animals, you know, different types of things. So
Dave,
it's really cool.
Can you have a zebra or a giraffe or something like that on your farm if you wanted?
Well, they don't offer zebras or giraffes yet, but they have elephants. So I have three of them. So they
you have three elephants?
Yeah.
How big's your ranch?
My ranch is 24 by 24.
Is that
inches
good?
Across. Yeah.
So you rule. Yeah. I'm the
biggest.
World?
I'm at the biggest right now. You know,
you're Farmer Dave.
I got my mansion. You know, I got. I'm partying.
But you have a mansion.
Yeah. I got one. I'm partying. You know, I got everything. I even bought a plane right now so it could spray my crops.
Nice,
dude. I'm really deep, dude. You don't understand. You don't even know.
Is there a way to win, or you just continue
to
play
question.
Forever?
You know, it's funny because there weren't as many crops. They weren't offering as many crops, and then. As soon as people started getting close to finishing all the crops, because you could master a crop.
Sure.
And when you master a crop, you get special prizes and stuff.
Of course.
So a lot of people have been mastering crops. Like me, I'm mastering a crap load of crops.
That's what it's like in Call of Duty.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you see little extra crops here and there pop up. You're like,
how exciting.
So they're just adding crap.
Oh, it's not exciting?
No, it's pretty exciting.
You're bummed because you thought you almost had it.
Well, because, you know, I was into my day crops now, like where I have to wait 3 days to harvest a crop. But now they added back four-hour crops and 16-hour crops.
Our producer Alex will say she's on the phone with somebody. She's trying to do some business for our show. And she'll hear Dave go, oh, no, I can't harvest my turnips yet.
artichokes are not getting enough water.
Master the artichoke, dude. Master the artichoke.
Listen, that's not an accomplishment.
Yes, it is, man.
How
much time I invested into that?
So
what
you
if the
plant
crop
the
needs to be harvested and you go out of town. What happens?
Good point.
Well, I mean, you set it up because
you take your computer with you.
Yeah, look
no,
at
but
it.
If you can.
Like the artichokes, for example, I think it's 2 day harvest. So you have
but
2 days.
2 days that you have to do it.
So you get it. You know, you wait 2 days. It's ready to be harvested. You have 2 days to harvest it. So you know, you're going to want to set it up accordingly.
All right, we need to leave it there and come back with phone calls because
you have to plan the harvesting around your vacation.
Phones are ringing off the hook, obviously, with all the Farmville fans because it's immensely popular. And apparently, Kevin, we're the lame ones for not being on Farmville. Apparently,
I need to know how this is interesting. This sounds like everything Dave says don't play this, don't play this.
It does sound like punishment. It does sound like something you get instead of jail. All right, 1-800-520-1067.
Lindsay Lohan, I'm very angry at you for not showing up at court. You have a week in Farmville.
Please explain the Farmville to us. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
That means good times are here.
Dave, are you putting on your overalls? Getting in your Farmville state of mind? Time Magazine recently released its list of the 50 worst inventions. Farmville. Farmville's on that list, Dave.
No, it's not.
It is.
Time Magazine should be one.
Time bemoans Farmville's mindlessness, pointing out the game's repetitive nature, even as it begrudgingly acceded that the virtual farm app is the most addictive of all the Facebook games. Apparently, if you weren't listening in the last segment, Dave, the King of Mexico, is heavy into the Farmville, and he's a big-time farmer, and he loves it, and that's why the podcasts don't go up until 3 p.m.
That's right.
Because Dave is working on Farmville.
He's got to harvest his beets or whatever it is he does, and then he does it.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's find out why Farmville is so darned popular. Why don't we start with Mandy, who apparently is on level 59, whatever the hell that
Baller.
Is. Hi, Mandy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
Bean just said level 59, and Dave just said baller. So apparently you're a baller, Mandy.
Dude, I'm only on 49.
Oh, you're kicking Dave's ass.
Yeah, All right,
all right, could we have a little less tractor on the call, please? Is that possible? Can you make that happen?
Yeah.
Maybe get rid of that for a minute. Mandy, what's the deal with you and the Farmville?
Well, I started doing it when I was pregnant, and then I became hooked on it. And I told my husband, you know, it's easier than shopping, and it's easier than doing a lot of other things. And
right.
So you're saving money, essentially?
So is sleeping. But, I mean, you know.
Okay, but what's the what's the thrill online of virtually harvesting peaches? I mean, what do you get out of that?
It's basically beating your friends and how much crap you can acquire on the farm and, like, how the levels you can get and right now the co-ops and everything.
Let me just ask a question. If you're on level 59 and Dave's on level 49, to me, that means you're more of a loser than Dave is because you have nothing else to do.
No, I do it before, after, and sometimes during work. It's sad.
Well, I can understand during if you're bored. A lot of people have boring jobs. I can understand doing stuff online.
I'm one of them.
Farmville is not. Yeah, you're one of them. All right.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Mandy. Level 59. All right, let's try to beat that, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's try Sharon. Sharon is on line 6, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. She has also been bitten by the Farmville bug. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Oh, my God, I'm so big into Farmville. I'm on level
62.
Yeah!
She did it! Is that the top level?
No, I don't know what the top level is. It's like
anyone?
There isn't one, Sharon.
I have been on 70 or so already.
It says here that it's like cocaine to you. You will stay up all night and play it.
I don't stay up all night. I'm a school teacher, so when I come home from work, I need to kind of chill, and so I play the game, and I've accumulated so many things. I have 160 items in storage.
Oh, you rule, because that storage sure is full.
Sharon, why don't you get some penis in your life or something that you can really look forward to at the end of a long day?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for that to come up on Farmville, you know?
Yeah, good luck with that.
You know, in real life, she'd be on Hoarders.
She would, you're right. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. That's true. What's the biggest thrill you ever had, Sharon, playing Farmville? Like the real high of something that you accomplished or something that you did or saw or got that you still are smiling over?
Oh, my God. I think the best thing was it happened just about last week. They have this new thing going on through 7-Eleven that you can buy things and then you bring your little coupons to your computer and you enter in the number.
Yeah.
If you did a certain number of items, you get the Uber gift. And the Uber gift for Farmville was $200 Farmville dollars.
Oh, yeah! Man, that must have been exciting. You must have been like for days
with
that one.
Dude, when there's a new building that needs to be built,
call all your friends. Bang. It's party time.
If you have Farmville
time.
Cash, done like that. And you're making bank. You're rolling into coins.
And by bank, you mean
coins.
Right. And that you can cash in for
more stuff.
Nothing.
Sharon, thank you very much for the call. By the way, Jenny emails in, hey, party people, tell Dave he needs to get the Neapolitan cow for his farm at 7-Eleven. Apparently you can buy ice cream at 7-Eleven and use some sort of points or code or something like that and get a Neapolitan cow, Dave.
Look, I'm getting one.
There's two different levels of people. One is the guy that loves the farm bill. The other is the guy that starts spending real money on it.
Right.
Yeah.
But what
if
I'm hungry and I want ice cream?
Then you might as well go there.
Might as well get the Neapolitan.
Sure, yeah.
Let's talk to Jose on line 7. He's on level 70, Dave. Does that make him your lord and savior?
These guys are serving you.
Yeah, you have to worship him.
70. Yeah. Jose, what's up with Farmville? Why do you like it so much and you've played it to the point where you get to level 70?
Well, when I started playing it, my girlfriend hooked me up on it, so I had no say in it. But once I got addicted, I couldn't stop, and then I ended up in level 70. And I realized I have no life, so I stopped playing it.
You stopped? Did Dr. Drew treat you?
No.
Is there a Farmville rehab?
No.
No.
But
Listen to Jose, by the way. My girlfriend signed me up on it, so I had no choice. I had to do it. There's no way I could say no. Hey, can you kill your girlfriend online in Farmville, Dave? Is that something you're allowed to do? As a farmer, can the farmer kill his wife?
Bean, if it sounds at all interesting, you can't do it.
Here's something you may like. Now they offer puppies, so they could walk with your farm. I mean, with your farmer. And you feed the puppies, and they grow up to be doggies. So now
Hold on. You're moving too fast.
Yeah, this is great.
You're moving too fast. The puppies grow up to be doggies?
Yes. So now I have this cute little doggie following me around. And have I mentioned that I have a chinchilla?
Have I mentioned that the graphics are straight out of 1981?
Not the chinchilla. When you blow it up, dude, and zoom in, oh, it looks so cute.
Bean, the graphics are like horrible.
No, they're not.
They're horrible.
Oh, man. You guys are Dave, out.
Centipede, the game, way back in the 80s or whatever, has better graphics than this.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time, Dave, but I have to ask again, and I know we've kind of asked this before, and I'll try to do it in a different way. If you're going to spend time playing a game online, why not play something that has a little bit of adrenaline to it? Something where you're running from the cops, or you're trying to solve a puzzle, or you're doing something that's a little more stimulating than literally watching grass grow.
Because I'm not looking for that type of game. I want to relax and chill out. I don't want
to... That's what you need, you know. You're so hyper at work.
Yeah, man. So, you know, that's perfect.
Hang on. This just in. Nikki, is it level 75?
Oh!
Come on! How did you get to level 75, Nikki?
I play that game night and day.
How much more exciting is level 75 than 74?
It was so much better when I got to beat my last friend who was on level 74.
That's such good news.
There is something to say about when you're that first friend and right in the front of the line of all your neighbors. That's you. That's me right now.
Right, but you're awesome.
Right, but you're at the front.
So good.
But you're at the front of the loser line.
Not loser.
It's still the loser. You could be at the front, but it's the loser line.
Nikki, you rule.
Nikki, how much time are you spending on Farmville every day?
I go on in the morning before I go to work, during my breaks, when I get home, and if I have to, I wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. I would like to tell you that I will pay for a date, Nikki, if you and Dave would like to go out together, and you guys can bring your laptops, and you can go to a Starbucks, and you can sit there, you can play Farmville together. How about that?
I would love a Farmville date with Mike.
Yeah.
But not that.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got more tickets for you for the sold-out April Foolishness concert coming up this Saturday night. What a great lineup with Jimmy Kimmel and Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, and Jimmy Kimmel Live's house band Cleto and the Cletones. Raising a lot of money for charity. I think it's the best comedy lineup you'll find on any stage in this country in 2010. And you get to be there. We've got tickets up close in the Fancy Pants section coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Forgot to mention when I was talking about Kesha that I put up a post on our website, kevinandbean.com. Go there and look for Kesha. And there's clips of her videos and a picture of her in a bikini.
We're just going to get infuriated all over again?
Well, I hope it's entertaining. For me, if I didn't get that anger out, I would hurt someone. So okay. It was therapeutic for me. So go to kevinandbean.com and look that up. I had a huge celebrity sighting over the weekend. Huge for me. I know that not a lot of people in this room love soccer. Bean's average.
I like soccer. Yeah. I do. And I live in Seattle, which is one of the big soccer towns in America. They pull 40,000 for Seattle Sounders fans, and people really, really follow it like it's a real sport here.
Yeah. But I mean, I have 20 games that are TiVo'd at home from the English Premier League and from, the La Liga and Barcelona. I have all these games and the UEFA Cup and everything. And I record all these soccer games, and especially a Galaxy fan, Landon Donovan, fantastic. He went over and played for Everton. I watched every game that he played for Everton.
Wow.
Does that make me gay?
No.
Okay.
I don't think
so. You're a giant fan.
You're just a big fan of soccer.
I know. It's
It's
close.
Fan.
So anyway, the Galaxy loaned him to a team named Everton in the English Premier League. Now he's back and he's playing with the Galaxy. Beckham went over to... No, Beckham is the one who's not playing. He went over to AC Milan. I watched every game that he played with AC Milan. And he ended up hurting his Achilles tendon. He had to have surgery. And he's super bummed because the World Cup starts on June 11th. And he's just so,
he wanted to play in his fourth World Cup, which is a huge deal. I mean, that's a man who's got a career with some staying power. Yeah. And it was very, very, very important to him. And this is an injury that's going to sideline him for months, right?
He was the captain of the English team for at least one of the years. I think two or three times, at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a huge, everybody has the people that they're fascinated by. that, and you know, I told you the story of meeting Magic Johnson. He's another one of those guys where you just go, I don't have the time to say anything. There's nothing I could say that would ever catch him up
heard.
Or that he would care about.
Right.
So David Beckham is the same kind of thing, and I saw him at the Galaxy game on Saturday night. They had the first home game, mm-hmm. and he can't play, so he was on crutches, and he had one of those walking boots. And he was sitting in the suite right above me, and it was David Beckham.
Now what do you do?
So
now, but this wasn't like David the Magic Beckham. Johnson thing where you ran into him in a crowd and you had 3 seconds to come up with something to say and you embarrassed yourself. This is, I'm in the same place as David Beckham for a while,
right,
and now I've got a chance to really kind of plan my attack, right?
For 2 hours. You know, he's sitting right within talking distance of me. So I started talking to him. I was like, hey, you know, how'd the surgery go? And just trying to, you know, you try to meet them on their ground and right. talk about what they know. And how'd the surgery go? Fine. I was like, there's no possible way for the World Cup. No possible way. He's like, no, it happens. It happens, mate. It happens. And then we talked about soccer, and I think we had a great conversation. I mean, I think he was really fascinated, probably more by me than I was by him, because of my extensive knowledge.
Or he was trapped.
And ability.
And
that's true. That's
really point, unable to move.
To entertain endlessly.
Did you feel like you did not embarrass yourself in this conversation, that you kind of had appropriate topics and you weren't drooling or making a fool of yourself around Mr. Beckham?
I felt it didn't go as bad as Magic Johnson, which was, great. It didn't go that poorly.
Yeah.
But I guarantee, you know, here's the thing about when you meet somebody like that you've admired for a long time. It never goes as well as you want it to go.
Right.
And
in your mind, what you want is you're going to exchange emails and phone numbers, and now you're going to be BFFs, and he's going to be calling you the next day going, Kevin, let's hang out.
Yeah. 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 Or at the very least, like, he gets an idea of what he means to you, or anything is accomplished. But then you always have that fear in your head, which was, I was way more excited to meet him than he was me. And there's no way that conversation went as well for him as I thought it did.
Of course.
You don't have to wonder anymore, Kevin, because we told producer Alex that you ran into Beckham over the weekend, and she has lined him up, and we have David Beckham on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about that?
Kevin Bean, good morning. How are you? Cheers.
Hey, David.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, trying to recover from that conversation we had.
what do you mean, to recover? It was too good?
Well,
it was too exciting?
You know, to be quite honest with you, you're a nice man. Really,
Thank you.
I have to say, you're a really nice guy.
Thanks.
I just didn't appreciate you taking your pants off right in the middle of the conversation there.
What?
Oh, Mr. Beckham, I love soccer so much. You're one of my favorite players.
I don't remember.
Can you gargle with this pickle for me? I'd love to take a picture.
Oh, you didn't say that, Kevin.
Of course not.
How much you push this sausage through a donut for me? I'd just love to see that. Do you want a papa?
David, don't really? Lie. People are going to believe this.
I just love soccer so much. I'm an American, but I love your European sport. Look at me.
Okay.
You have a rubber ball gag, Mr. Beckham. I'd love to see you put it on.
So it wasn't as entertaining for you as it was for me?
And then trying to get me to eat those mini sirloin burgers. For real.
Oh, my God.
You just wanted to watch him eat, Kevin? Or what's going on?
I just thought maybe he's hungry. That's all.
You want to go down to West Hollywood with me? I'd love for you to accompany me to my favorite bar, Trunks.
I didn't say that, by the way.
You sure did.
No.
David Beckham, have you ever seen a fully shaved man before?
Let me take off my green jacket. What are you talking about?
That's a dumb jacket.
I didn't.
That was a dumb jacket.
It is a dumb jacket.
You've got a giant head.
I do have a giant head.
With yellow pubes on top.
You're a grown man.
It's my hair. Get a pot going or something. You're a grown man. Enough with the Madra shorts and the pube head.
Come on now. It's not a pube head. It
doesn't sound like they're going to be friends after this.
It may be bad hair, but it's not.
You're a nice guy. Really.
Thank you.
I appreciate
you. Let's leave it at that.
I appreciate you all the support, but mm-hmm. for reals.
Right.
You know, get a pair of pants and comb your hair.
It was bad. But it was a soccer game.
Enough with the pleather jacket.
I can wear shorts.
It's goddamn embarrassing.
Okay.
Well, he is a fashionista. David Beckham knows what he's talking about. He's talking about how to dress, Kevin. You got to listen to the guy. He's got credibility.
All right, so scratch jacket. Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, I just love you so much, Mr. Beckham.
I'm sorry. Listen.
Is there any way I can get a lock of your hair to take home?
I didn't say that.
I just
that.
Love the way you smell. What cologne do you use, Mr. Beckham?
I didn't say that.
Let me rub your cashmere sweater. It just feels so good to the touch.
How dare you?
Well, I'm
queer
sorry bait. You had to be embarrassed.
I thought you Americans were manly.
All right.
Watch a John Wayne movie or something. Do some push-ups. For real, mate.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Beckham. We appreciate it.
Okay, good.
Let me tell you about our guest in the studio here, Kevin, because I love a 14-year overnight success story, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a couple of members from the Dirty Heads joining us right now, along with Rome from Sublime, all in studio here on the Kevin and Bean program. Rome, we haven't seen you in what, about a month?
It's been a long month, man. Strong 4 weeks.
A lot of things have happened.
A lot of things have happened. Well, let's start with the Dirty Heads. I guess Justin, Jared, you guys formed
Dustin,
this band back
that's
in 1996.
With a D.
Dustin and Jared, right? You guys formed this band back in 1996, is that right?
Yeah. We grew up in high school and kind of started writing.
We grew up in high school.
Yeah. When we all figured out puberty and everything.
And together all that time, constantly playing and writing and recording and touring and all that stuff?
No, not touring, I'd say. When we started out in 96, we were an acoustic act, you know, and it was just for fun. We were playing local bars, little local things just for our friends. And then I'd say about 4 years ago is when we really got the full band going and started getting out on the road. And
when you go to the local bars and you're young, a lot of bands have to start with doing covers of something. I mean, they have to cover whatever song people want to hear.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear all your new stuff if they don't know you. What's the most embarrassing stuff that you had to do, honestly? You play Brick House? Did you play...
No, I don't think
covers?
Much
you didn't
that.
Do any covers?
We would, like, do our songs, and then we would, like, you know, throw some... You know, kind of like Sublime did. We'd do our own stuff, and then we'd throw some old reggae stuff in with it. You know,
right.
Nothing... We were never, you know... Listen to what was popular at the time, what was big hits, a lot of older
stuff. Lucky you.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I have found out since we've started playing here on our show and on our station is that, man, you've got a lot of grassroots support out there, a lot of people who have been following you guys for a long time, rooting for you guys for a long time. I mean, I imagine you've developed quite a fan base that you can pretty much count on when you play, huh?
Yeah. Our fans are really important to us, and we've kind of tried to make that known, like, without... touring and meeting people and just trying to be cool as a band, not being rock stars. But it's just me and Duddy. We just have these computer programs where we call in K-Rock over and over. We really fans.
You're the one who's been requesting it.
They come to my house, like my mom, my girlfriend, everyone. They're all sitting there with headphones on and they're just
powerhouse.
Constantly.
We have like the Affliction shirt guy voice and then we have the like ditzy chick voice.
Yeah. Just hire actors.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now,
before
we get to the lay me down part of the story, which is really fascinating, before we find out how the whole Rome thing happened, I mean, Any Port in a Storm, this album that you've had out for some time now, I mean, you've got some pretty impressive guest stars on this as well. I mean, you were already kind of working with some interesting people.
Yeah, Billy Preston.
Josh Fries.
Billy Preston was probably one of the coolest things that we've ever get to.
That was pretty
if
awesome.
If you didn't know, he played with Stones.
With the Stones, okay.
And we got to fly out. It was right before he passed away. We got to fly out to Arizona and watch him play. And it was like, and he did it in like one, or he listened to the songs and finished it in like two takes. And it was just
how did you even know him? Really he was the, for folks who don't know, he's an extremely popular pop singer and songwriter and keyboardist in the 70s, but he's most famous for being the fifth Beatle. I mean, he played on Let It Be and those albums and stuff. But how do you even like cross paths with a dude like Billy Preston?
Was one of the people that was helping produce our album. He got in contact with him and hit him up. He sent him some music and, you know, he said that he was down to play on our album. So
what about Josh Fries? How'd you get Josh?
From Stan Fraser, our other producer, he's been friends. The drummer from Sugar Ray, he was friends with Josh, and we loved his playing and
Josh
really respected
hilarious.
Him. Yeah,
he's great.
He's a really good guy.
He's awesome, but he's also been, I mean, you can find fewer albums that he doesn't drum on than albums that he does drum on.
Yeah.
I would have been surprised if Josh Fries wasn't on your record.
Yeah,
now, how did you guys connect with Rome? How'd that work?
The studio that we work in, the engineer.
You guys did nothing, right?
No, nothing.
Producers we know, studio.
No.
Yep. Just...
We don't do anything.
All right. I like that. So they knew of him? And...
No, the engineer and producer that we were working with, it's the studio that we've been writing all of our music in since like day one, before we had management, before we were even a band pretty much, was friends with Rome, and we met him in the studio and kind of had like, you know, similar... musical tastes and similar styles and just became friends and then started jamming.
I'd always catch their band practice.
Oh, you would? Yeah. Oh, really?
Always catch their band practice. I was.
He was the original guy.
Yeah.
Groupie.
We knew Rome when he was still Romulus.
Isn't it so weird for you, Rome? I mean, how different is your life than a few months ago when you were just a kid living in Nevada?
Never lived in Nevada, but it's I got the same life basically. I just I'm either really loved or really hated. So.
I think you're mostly really loved. Having seen you at our Acoustic Christmas concert in December, when that stage turned and you came out and started singing, that place went ballistic. I mean, there was so much love in the room for you and that
band.
That
was surreal, man. Wasn't that
awesome?
Well, yeah, the whole stage just, rotated. And as we, viewed more and more of the audience, people were just jumping up and smiling and going crazy.
That's our favorite thing to do is introduce it. Don't introduce the surprise. Just let the stage turn. Yeah. And then people
kind of... You guys have a surprise show.
People kind of see you in waves, and you hear the crowd go crazy as they recognize who it is and what's about to happen. Very cool.
I think
and they sang along with every word of that set, too. It was incredible. And we haven't seen you since then, but thank you very much for doing that. So they come to... So Dirty Heads, you know these guys, you've seen these guys, and they say, hey, we got a song we think you might like singing on. Is that how it worked?
No, not so much. We'd already been, buddies for a while, and they'd come by the studio, and, they'd do harmonies on my tracks, or I'd do harmonies on their tracks. But one day, we actually were just like, let's get together and write a song together, So I had a couple riffs in mind, and we just met over up at Daddy's house, and the stuff that I brought, was a lot different by the end of the day, and they got words to it and a theme to it, and we just kind of zoned out over a case of beer, and
we pretty much got drunk in the backyard.
Meaning, what's it mean to you?
I don't remember writing it.
What's the name of it?
That's
again?
How you do your best work.
Yeah.
You got to be drunk to really accomplish anything in this world.
Chicks.
We didn't need
songs.
No label help or anything. It was
masturbating.
A couple dudes in the backyard.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It just takes too long though when you're drunk.
Yeah, well, it does end time. That's true. Yeah.
You need more extreme porn then. That's the problem there.
Yeah. So I just got to get rid of all the mirrors that I'm staring at.
Lay Me Down is the song, and you guys are going to be performing for us, which is very exciting for us. But I mentioned a few minutes ago, we had so many people who have been calling and emailing, begging to figure out a way to buy that
song.
You can
download it on the 16th.
And Tuesday is the day. Tuesday is the day
Tuesday,
it's going to be
available. It's getting released. The single will come out with a deluxe album with a bunch of bonus tracks and a bonus video and stuff like that. So on Tuesday, you'll be able to get it.
Well, you're going to perform it here.
Yeah, yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We'll be right back.
Rome, the lead singer of that band, Sublime, is in the studio with us on the Kevin Bean Show right now, along with his friends from the Dirty Heads, straight out of Huntington Beach, California. Their album is called Any Port in the Storm, available everywhere on Tuesday, now with 22 tracks and a bonus video. So finally, you get a chance to get their great song called Lay Me Down. Hey, you guys got a bunch of shows coming up here, too. The Ragamuffins Festival is happening next week, February 20th at the Long Beach Arena. Who else is on the bill besides you guys at the Ragamuffins?
It's us and the Mr. Boombastic.
Okay.
Shaggy. Don Carlos, Yellow Man. Many others.
Good show. And then, of course, you're very excited, I know, because today at 11, tickets go on sale at the Roxy box office for the show that you got there on March the 5th.
Yes,
and we're going to give away a pair of tickets right now to some Dirty Heads fans. If you just want to be caller 20 right now, you can win a pair of tickets to be the first to get those tickets for that show March 5th at the Roxy. Again, tickets go on sale today. All right. Kevin, you're going to be joining in on this number? You can let the boys handle it.
I don't know. I'll see how they do. If they need some help, I'll jump in.
You got your harmonica or whatever they need to stand by? All right. It's the most requested song these days around here. It is called Lay Me Down. We're very excited. This is the first chance we've had to see what it sounds like live with these guys, the Dirty Heads featuring Rome from Sublime. Hit it, guys.
Whoa, 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 no, whoa. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, 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 no, oh. Hey.
Well, this is how it starts. Two lovers in the dark. I'm the one from the one that they call. Share sparks, six guns by the side, and bullets round the waist. Two shots to the sky, signal sign for the chase. The safe was nearly empty, and they were nearly free. But was seen by the good eye, the mean Billy Green. And he screamed at the top of his lungs, they're on the run. It's the two outsiders, grab your horses and your guns.
I said I wish that we can stay here, but I fear our time has come. Oh, we can ride out in the darkness, chasing the rising sun. So pack your bags this instant, run south down to the next town. And now that we've arrived so safely, baby, you can lay me down.
on the move. They got nothing left to lose. Set their guns and their wounds. Now they're crossing border shares. Posse on their tail. They'd rather die together than be stuck up in a cell. They drank up all the whiskey and they partied every night. Like it could be the last, the bounty said to shoot on sight. So they chased me in the summer, knew it came with the price. They wouldn't stop running till they found a paradise. But the sheriff finally found them with his eyes seeing red. And the lovers had to shoot them down and fill them full of lead. They were finally free to find a place to lay their head. And when they finally did, he looked at her and then he said,
I said, I think that we can stay here. And I fear our time has come. Or we can walk down to the ocean and sit with the rising sun. So unpack your bags this instant. We're heading out down to the next town. And now that we've arrived so safely, baby, you can lay me down.
Running around with you, it's the afternoon, and we got nothing left to do, so wipe the dirt off, or take your shirt off, and we should go hit the cantina, we got work off. I said it's hot outside, let me go swimming in your eyes. We've been running for a while, want you lay down, make me smile. I could never ask for nothing better than this. It's just tequila and the beach, it's hot and salty when we kiss.
I said I think that we can stay here, cause I fear our time has come. But we can walk down to the ocean and sit with the rising sun. We gotta pack our bags and stay. No more running from town to town. And now that we've arrived so safely, baby, you can lay me down. Lay me down.
Lay me down.
Lay me down.
Lay me down.
Lay me down.
That couldn't have sounded any better. How about that, huh?
That sounded great.
That was amazing, guys. Lay Me Down, again, available digitally at all major online services this Tuesday with the rest of the record, Any Port in the Storm. Don't miss the band The Dirty Heads at the Roxy on March 5th. Tickets go on sale today and the Ragamuffins Festival February 20th at the Long Beach Arena. By the way, this is good advice from the Kevin Amin Show. You heard the guys tell the story. Spend more time drinking beer with your bros in the backyard and things will happen,
yeah,
right?
Write more hit songs that way.
Key to success.
Exactly. Dirty Heads, Rome, thanks so much for coming down the Kevin Amin Show, man. We really enjoyed it. Have a great weekend. You understand, Psycho Mike, that he walked up to a dude with a samurai sword and just started hacking away, killed one guy, injured another guy, and got away. With a samurai sword. That's not the way you, that's not the way you want to go, and it's also not the way you want to kill. I have a lot of problems with this story.
Bean is not the same as you and I. He's very different. And there's something about human death that he revels in. Bean loves it.
He's fascinated by it.
It's not even fascinated as much as his joy. He's joy. It's the only thing that truly makes him happy.
The weirder the situation, the happier he is.
First of all, the situation is still alive, so that's a bad
with
bad
great
example.
Abs, I hear.
Second of all,
you love it. You love it.
I do enjoy hearing about it because, look, here my whole thing.
Do you have a painting of the rat that brought the plague on your wall at the home?
You can't get more death than that.
Yeah,
how many people died of the bubonic plague?
I actually do have that.
That's his hero. That rat is his hero because it involved.
That rat was the bomb.
That rat killed more humans than any other rat in history.
That rat said, "Think I won't." No, I do enjoy death, and that's why Kevin thought it might be a good idea to debut a new feature today here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
thank you, Omar. I'd like to introduce him to death after hearing that intro. All right, here's the thing. We get so many great stories, and what's happening is that I try to tell these stories to the guys in the studio off the air, and they will never let me because they never want to hear about the awesome death stories.
Well, it's right? just that those are the only kind you tell. You don't mix them up with something great.
Right.
But shouldn't there be room on the Kevin and Bean Show for this story? Headline, American cage fighter rips out still beating heart of training partner after fearing he was possessed by the devil.
What?
Isn't that a story that deserves to be on the air?
Yes, for the crazy factor.
Wow.
But not for the let's all laugh at the guy who's dead with no heart.
Jared Wyatt is his name. Mike, I had not heard of this cage fighter. I don't know if he's up and coming or new or amateur or what. Do you know, have you heard of this guy before?
I had never heard of him, but when I read this story, he was my new hero.
Yeah, he's sure. He's
Mike loves death too, by the way, just a little less.
I don't know if I love death as much as Bean, but I got to agree, the guy who rips out the still beating heart's pretty sweet.
I mean, that's the five-finger death punch. I mean, that's legendary, yeah. right?
Yeah.
The young man, the victim, was named Taylor Powell. His tongue was also ripped out, most of his face, and his still-beating heart. Police found the 26-year-old Wyatt standing naked over his friend's body with parts including an eyeball strewn around a blood-splattered room in Klamath, California. Here's the explanation. Wyatt allegedly told police that he had drunk a cup of tea spiked with hallucinogenic mushrooms, and he became convinced that Powell was possessed by the devil.
Stop doing what you're doing.
I mean, I see that, and I go, you got to respect, right? You got to.
Obi loves death.
Yes, he does.
The scenario was unique as far as doctors concerned. This story last week from New York. A man got a transplanted kidney from a woman who had uterine cancer and didn't know it. He died from it as a result of a transplant with uterine cancer in it. What about that? Guys.
Wait. I just want to know what you expect when you say, what about that? Are you expecting us to go, wow, that's crazy?
Well, it's such a raw deal for a guy who had kidney problems his whole life. He was 37 years old.
Right.
He got a transplant, and they didn't know that the woman he got the transplant from, who had died in a car accident, didn't know that she had cancer.
Right.
So then they do the autopsy on the woman, find out she had cancer. They go back to the guy who's got her kidney and say, the woman that we got your kidney from, she has uterine cancer. The doctor said, I think you'll be okay, though. It's pretty rare that something like that would transfer from patient to patient. 6 months later, dude drops dead. He's gone.
Fail.
He's so happy that he gets this new kidney.
Yeah.
It's the start of a new life. He's only 37 years old. He's got 50 years ahead of him. Right. Boom. 6 months later, drops dead.
But with the rest of us, when he gets the kidney, that's the high point of the story.
Right.
The part where he dies is a bummer.
Right. Not for Bean.
No, not for Bean. For Bean, that's just the setup, and then the punchline is that he died.
That is the cherry on top.
Bean loves death.
And finally, a Foxconn technology worker tried to kill himself Thursday, becoming the 13th person to commit suicide or attempt to do so in the computer company in China that makes the iPhone. 13 people have already committed suicide or tried to working at that factory in the past few months. What's up with that?
Miserable
not
job.
Enough pay, way too many hours, way too much pressure.
You have to work 17 hours a day for two pennies?
Yeah. I heard they actually put nets up.
Yes, that's what. That's,
let's
that's,
not give him a raise. Let's try nets.
Nets.
That's exactly what they did. The Foxconn chairman took reporters on a tour last week. Showed that they had installed a hotline center for depressed employees. They have put a swimming pool in to try to improve morale. They have also included nets because several of these people who have committed suicide have done so on the premises by jumping off buildings. They've also divided the employees into 50 member groups, and members are asked to watch for signs of emotional trouble within the group. So this guy was 23, by the way, who jumped off the building.
Wow, that's a bummer.
23 years old. But on the bright side, iPhones are pretty cool. It's sort of worth it.
Bean loves death.
There's your feature. Bean has, if we would let him, he has a backlog of 750 more stories of death.
We could do the whole show on it.
We could. He's a collector. He's a collector of death. So tune in next time for our new feature.
Bean loves death. Bean loves.
Welcome to paradise. I hope you had the time of your life. Come around. The Jesus of the Berry on all the time.
all right, we get it. Green Day has a lot of songs we like. We understand. And now you can play them for your own self in the comfort of your own home. Green Day Rock Band, available everywhere tomorrow for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Wii. Let's welcome back our friend Trey Cool, drummer for the band Green Day, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Trey, how are you, man?
Hey, man. You know, we found a good trick to get me up early to be with you guys here this morning.
What's the trick?
I'm in Helsinki.
Oh, excellent. So just time
reels?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it's almost evening over here, which means the sun has no intention of going down.
Dude, I was there last summer. I love that city. It's so much fun.
It is awesome here. Totally.
Good times. Well, listen, I know we don't have a lot of time. We want to get the information about the Green Day Rock Band. Now, this can't be true, but it's the Beatles, and then it's you. That's it for Rock Band, for bands that have their own version of the game?
That's all she wrote.
Wow,
unbelievable. How about that? I mean, it's got to be odd for you to be in a category with just the Beatles.
It's pretty groovy, man. We're all huge Beatles fans, and I think we move around a lot more than the Beatles, though. So
sure.
Our game's probably more likely to cause epileptic seizures.
Exactly. And I wanted to talk about that because this is the fascinating thing about these games for people to play. There's so much work that goes. I mean, there must be thousands of man hours that goes into it from hundreds of people to get a game ready for market. How much did the band have to do? What was your homework like to prepare for the thing to get made right?
Well, we had to write all those 47 songs, first of all.
Sure.
Record them.
Well, there's right. That.
Yeah, okay, that's...
But you did that before the game.
Yeah, just like took pictures of our instruments, took pictures of us, got old, like all this archive stuff and included it for, you know, content. If you are doing good, you get to unlock some embarrassing stuff.
What's embarrassing that you can unlock?
Yeah.
What's embarrassing? Tell me something.
Oh, pretty much anything on there that you unlock is going to be
okay.
Like, so old school that it's like, oh, I haven't seen that in a while. They're really, like, there's Billy doing an interview, like eating a cheeseburger.
Good. Good.
I heard that there is stuff that even Green Day fans maybe haven't seen in 20 years. It's been so deep in the archives before you guys released it on Green Day Rock Band.
And there's unreleased stuff too, so.
Can I unlock a selection where you're playing the Letterman show and for some reason, right when the song ends, you sprint off stage? Can I unlock that?
Yeah, you know, there'll be more to come.
I'll never forget that. I was like, I don't know what just happened, but that was really funny.
We're talking to Trey Cool from the band Green Day about Green Day Rock Band, available everywhere tomorrow. I know you guys are always open to figuring out new ways to kind of expand the brand and make your fans happy. You know, everything from, you know, the Broadway show to the, you know, the kinds of crazy tours you do and stuff like that. But was Rock Band something you wanted to do because you guys are fans of it, or just you saw it as an opportunity to kind of get more of your music out there?
You know, we definitely like it. As far as video games go, it's like, it's nonviolent. It's, it's music, and, you know, gets kids into, you know, maybe songs that they wouldn't otherwise get into. Because, you know, let's face it, kids are fans of video games before they're fans of, bands or, yeah. Radio stars or movie stars or anything. So, it kind of shows the kids that there's other things to do with your Xbox than blow up zombies or shoot people and... war games.
Although both of those are fun as well.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing wrong with practicing killing zombies for when the actual zombie invasion comes. I think that's excellent use of a kid's time. I know. That's what I'm saying. Tell me real quick, Trey, before you have to go. Three different settings that you can be Green Day in the game. Three very special venues to you guys in the band. What are they?
There's like a warehouse gig back in the day, and like we even look younger, and we got the old haircuts and the old equipment.
It's mid-90s?
Then we've got, like, the American Idiot Bullet in the Bible set up, which is Milton Keynes. And then we've got the Fox Theater in Oakland for the 21st Century Breakdown stuff.
That's kind of cool. And did you turn over a bunch of video to them, and they...
Yeah, we actually... they had to come and bring, like, film crews and stuff. I think we filmed in, like, Dallas, Phoenix or something, a couple of places. You know, they could put camera right over me, like put just all these angles that they needed to sort of mimic us, you know, because we didn't want to put the suits on and perform
right
in the little weird box. So, I mean, they're like, well, I don't know if we could do it. And then somebody figured it out. It's like, well, we can do it. It's actually kind of sweet. sweet.
How do you look as a cartoon? Were you happy with that?
Yeah, man. It's good.
It's got to be weird. It has to be weird to look at yourself and go, okay, that's a cartoon me.
Well, you know, usually a cartoon is like if you get down on the boardwalk and the guy draws you, you know, he's, you know, for me, it would just be like a nose, right?
Right.
A hairdo and like little, you know, beady eyes. And that's it.
Right.
Sort of like take your weirdest feature and run with it.
But, an exaggerator, right?
Yeah, this was no exaggeration. It's kind of made us look like, you know, John Madden, you know, NFL sort of style, you know, animation.
But the players, sure, not John Madden, though. You're talking about the players.
We all look like John Madden.
Okay, good.
Green Day Rock Band is in stores tomorrow for Xbox 360, PS3, Wii. That's right. We're going to give away a copy of the Rock Band right now for you. Plus, check this out. What? A Rock Band? What's that? Say that again, Trey?
A Rock Band and a turducken.
And a turducken. Oh, awesome. We'll throw it in a turducken.
Nice.
Listen to this. You get the game, you get the guitar strap, you get the Trey Cool drumsticks, you get the Green Day Rock Band t-shirt, all of that for caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And we're going to qualify you to see the band, check this out, in Denver, Colorado on August the 28th. Also, you could win, if you're the grand prize winner, a Rock Band Xbox 360 bundle and an autographed guitar from the band. Go to kevinb.com for another chance to win, but call now if you want to win that. Trey, have fun in Finland, man. Congratulations on the Rock Band. You know, we love you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, what you did in a car that led to an accident coming up in about 20 minutes. And if you have not been listening for a number of years, you definitely want to stick around and hear Lisa's story, because it's really one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my life.
This is a good story.
It's a great one.
And it will make you respect her even more as a woman and a potential girlfriend. So that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we need to talk about keeping up with the Kardashians. What's the story here? What's going on with Khloe and Lamar, Kevin?
Khloe Kardashian married Lamar Odom, and now apparently they're going to some kind of
marriage counseling
because she's afraid that he, Lamar Odom of the Lakers, married her, Khloe Kardashian, so that he could increase his level of fame.
Oh, are you kidding?
That's what she
said. It doesn't seem likely. I mean, she's only famous because her hotter sister is famous.
Right.
Right? And now she's only famous because she's married to an NBA star.
I mean, none of this really
is about her. She's only famous by association as it is.
I don't know if you've talked to or seen Lamar Odom in the past, but he does not enunciate clearly. There's a little of him in a locker room interview.
You know, set guys up as well as set myself up, finding opportunities to pose, able to rebound.
Can you speak up, please? You
know, rebound like a power forward, and then you kind of switch your mindset and push it out and make a play like a point guard. Probably a strength to my game.
So that's Lamar.
Wow.
He's a little mumbly, yeah. And is it true, because I don't watch the Kardashians show, but is it true that he is subtitled on the TV show?
Yes. Yes, they have to type up the words on the screen that he's saying because you can't understand what he's saying.
All right. Well, we asked producer Alex if we could talk to the great Lamar Odom from the Los Angeles Lakers, and I believe we have him on the telephone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lamar. Are you there?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. This is Chloe.
Oh, hi, Chloe. We're calling for your husband.
Hi. How are you?
We're good. We were looking for Lamar. Is he there?
Oh, yeah. Sure, he's here.
Okay.
Would you like to talk to him?
Ow. Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, stop.
Why is she screaming?
I don't know.
I'm building circus peanuts.
Right?
Did you say circus peanuts? Hey, Lamar, we wanted to ask you about this story that you're going to see a marriage counselor because Khloe thinks that you're trying to latch onto her fame.
Yeah, I'm trying to feel Abba. I'm on to a fun dip.
You do enjoy candy, that's for sure. But I think Kevin was asking if the reports are true you're seeing a marriage counselor.
Oh, no. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a honey. I'm a big hunk. And I'm a whole root beer barrels.
I never thought I'd ask this, but I'm not getting. Could you put your wife back on the phone for just one quick second, please? I'm not getting the answer that we're looking for.
I'm no Skittle.
Hello?
Ow. Quieter.
Hi.
Chloe, you don't have to yell, but we'd like to know what.
I'm not.
We'd like to know what Lamar just said.
Oh, he said that, yes, we're in counseling, but we don't have any problems. We're just making sure that we both want to start our lives out on the right page.
Wow, I didn't get any of that from what I heard, Lamar. Okay, all right, please stop screaming. All right, put him back on the phone, would you, please?
All right, hold on.
Okay, stop yelling. Wow.
Lamar, what about the reports that your wife believes that you married her in order to make yourself more famous? It seems unlikely to us, but what's your take on it?
Well, it's all Mike and Ike. Don't bust the baked beans. Don't buy the caps. Nickel wafers.
All right, I hate to ask, but you maybe put Chloe back on for the translation.
Chloe, take it down.
You married your husband, or he married you because he's trying to get more famous based on the Kardashian fame. Is that true?
Well, I wasn't concerned, and he just said that we talked about it, and we realized that we both bring separate things to the relationship.
Yeah.
He brings a certain amount of fame in the sports world. Yes, my family is known in the entertainment world.
Stop yelling.
But together, we think we both help each other, not only in terms of our higher profile, but also in emotional and physical support.
I heard bottle caps and Skittles. That's what I heard. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say that. You're lying.
Okay.
All right. We got
to
go.
You want to talk one more time? Talk to him. He'll tell you.
Okay. All right.
Lamar?
How do you put up with her? That's maddening. You've got to put a pillow on her face when she's sleeping.
I don't know. Suck these pecan rolls. Your Pac-Man pattern. I'm in general. I'm married to a Yeti.
Indeed. That we got.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, let me ask the room, what name comes to mind when I say the word fail
Miss Cleo?
To you? Miss Cleo!
What? Clock with a clock, and it goes and with a clock, and it's and clock, similar to clock with a clock.
I'm amazed that Miss Cleo is able to dress herself and drive into work every day with as much as she fails.
She is fail. You look that up in the dictionary. There she is.
And sometimes the driving has been a problem, now, you'll recall.
Miss Cleo is on the Psycho Mike death, what do we call it?
Diet of death.
Which means don't eat anything. And
ever.
Ever.
And grass.
And never
protein.
Enjoy yourself. Yes, you can graze.
You can graze.
On
yeah.
grass, but that's
We're
it.
We're basically like horses.
So basically every day Miss Cleo comes in and Lisa comes in and Alex comes in and they go, oh yeah, what should I do with the diet that I'm, can I eat this? Can I eat that? And Mike's like, no!
That's pretty much it.
And I think that's what drove Miss Cleo to the cupcake junkie situation.
Before we get into the specifics of this latest incident that apparently involves cheating, folks need to know what it's like for poor Kevin and poor me, by the way, who 18 hours of every single day listen to them talk about weighing food and separating eggs and drinking powder. It's a nonstop 100% of the time conversation in the office about what they can and can't eat. It's crazy.
Now, Miss Cleo has been looking great.
Yeah, she looks awesome.
Really good. And that's why this next case that we're going to bring to the Kevin and Bean Court is so funny. Psycho Mike, tell us what you saw.
So over the break, Miss Cleo and I are hanging out in the office getting some work done. And she's about to leave. And she says, hey, before I leave, I just want to say I've been having a little trouble with my diet lately. And I was wondering, you know, what I should do here. And I was like,
don't eat.
You could do better here. You could do better there. We're just talking the details. She said, I think it'd be better if I waited till after the holidays because there's so many holiday parties and there's so much temptation with sweets and whatnot. I'm like, all right, you know, no sweat. Do what you want to do, Cleo. I mean, you know, whatever feels comfortable to you. I'm going to say 5 minutes later, 6 minutes later.
Yeah.
I'm walking out of the building here. And I see Miss Cleo parked parallel to the entrance of the radio station, all kind of by herself in her car, shoving a cupcake in her mouth, like huddled over it, though. Like
hiding? Was she hiding?
Being
in an alley with a crack pipe?
I don't think she was hiding because she parked her car, I mean, right in front of the entrance to the station.
So to do that, she had to get in her car and back it up.
Right. Exactly.
Mike,
okay, so she's already moving.
No, like, that is. This isn't open for debate.
Well,
Hold on. We'll give you a chance.
And I walk up and I'm walking around her and I just see her eating this and she goes, I just don't care. And I'm like, look. You guys like to make fun, but I'm not really that guy. I mean, it's her diet. I don't care what you eat. Eat whatever the hell you want. I'll help you when you want help. But I just looked at her. I was like, okay, no problemo. Eat whatever you want. And I'm walking away laughing at her. And before she pulls away, I look down on the ground, and there's cupcake wrappers all over the ground.
You threw them out? You littered right in the parking lot?
And I go, before, and I point at it. And before I could even say anything, she goes, I never do that. I never do that. I don't know why. It was a one-time thing.
I never do that.
Okay, you want the real story now?
Yeah, she snapped.
Sure.
I'll sell myself out. I was sitting in my car eating the cupcakes.
Had you backed your car up?
I did back up. I was literally, I got into my car and I was parked in the first spot.
Right.
So I got in my car, sat down, turned my car on, and ate the cupcake before I left. The car wasn't moved. I moved the car and then you found the cupcake wrapper. So
okay,
yes,
so,
I might
right.
have littered
okay.
in my fury to get to my cupcake.
Were you, are you a cupcake junkie?
Yeah, exactly.
Were you hiding in your car? Why didn't you eat it in the station?
Someone handed it to me as I was walking out. I was literally walking.
The cupcake pusher
was
there.
We have a cupcake pusher in the parking lot that won't let you get in your car.
Was the first one free?
What the hell?
My guy handed it to me.
There's nobody, especially over the Christmas break, in the parking lot handing out cupcakes.
It wasn't in the parking lot.
Exactly.
It was in the building. Someone had this, their girlfriend had made a bunch of cupcakes, and as I was walking out, he had like three left, and he said, hey, do you want an extra cupcake?
And you said, yes, and I'll eat it right here.
As I'm walking, no. So I went to my car, sat down. I don't think that's a problem at all.
You were hiding.
And I don't think I was hiding.
Was she
and
hiding?
I don't think I have a problem.
Whether or not she was hiding, subconsciously, she had to have been. Because, like you said, why wouldn't you eat it in the comfort of a building? Especially, it was cold outside. It was over Christmas
Where
break.
Where am I going to eat? Where? I was literally walking
in
down
the
hall.
I don't know. Like, all of us eat in this building every single day. Just in the lobby, in the studio, wherever you are. You're just inside. If you're in the building and someone hands you a cupcake, most of us would eat instead of, like, run to your car and chomp down on it. And, by the way, that's besides the point. It's
she probably locked the doors,
you're so angry at the earth that you, like, you couldn't even think to hold on. You just tore the wrappers off that cupcake and threw them away like a Viking. Like an animal. Everything in your way, you rape and pillage.
My name is Miss Cleo, and I have a sugar problem.
Really? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think she consciously said, I better go hide from Mike so I can eat this.
I do think that's
But the
what
way
happened.
She was eating it, and I'm going to be open here, reminded me exactly of how I used to run to my car and drink and use drugs. Because she was just all by herself, no radio on or anything, just like hunched over the cupcake, shoving it in her mouth.
Okay, I will say this. Sometimes I have hidden food from Mike
of
before
course.
Because he does this great thing. Like, I don't pay him any money. I would have to pay somebody who gave me the same advice that Mike does.
And we don't like thousands of dollars in his face when we screw up.
But in that instance, I was just walking to my car.
Cleo, but you were in the building when they handed it to you.
On my way out.
Cleo, you got to start going to meetings, baby. You need help. It's bigger than you.
You're a cupcake junkie. You need to deal with it. This is your intervention.
This is my intervention.
It's your wake-up call.
Well, thank you.
We don't want you in an alley shoving cupcakes.
Whatever,
down
I don't have a problem.
And, wait, you're throwing the wrapper out. Now, here's my question. People who litter like that, just blatantly in the parking lot, just open the door and tossed it.
She's high on sugar, man.
No.
She doesn't
know
what she's doing.
Is that really, does she never do that?
No, exactly.
Right?
I never do.
That's my thing.
BS.
My thing is, that was the one time in my life I threw. No.
It's like the disease-written whore who, after you have a one-night stand with her, she's like, I never do this.
Yes, exactly.
She hates the earth.
I date for months before I sleep with a man, usually.
No wonder you won't even look Dr. Drew in the eyes when he comes in on our show.
That's true.